Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, ready, right? Me and you? Everybody? Great.
I'm ready. What? Ready for what?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy.
I just love hot Cheetos! I love you so much!
Whoa!
Oh, I'm so happy! I'm so happy! This is the best day of my life!
While Dick and Ryan are taking care of business in New York, I'm Fergie, and I'll be representing here in Hollywood, where we're partying like it's 2009! Yeah!
Oh, man!
And now, in a nutshell, 2009 looks like what to you?
Miserable.
2010.
Miserable, even worse.
Our feature presentation.
Wow, who is that?
That's the way you want to start a new year right there.
A miserable. Downer?
Yeah, who is that?
That was a 60 Minutes piece that ran over the weekend with a guy who's talking about how the subprime mortgage meltdown is nothing compared to what's coming with all these people who bought houses with these adjustable rate mortgages that have the balloon that goes up after 3 or 4 or 5 years or something like that. He said, you haven't even begun to see foreclosures in this country until that hits.
Oh, my God.
Nice. So, wow.
Yeah, nothing but good news straight ahead, apparently.
I've attempted to understand that whole situation about 5 different times, and every single time at the very beginning of it, I go, I'm not going to get that.
My brain's not going to wrap around that.
I could spend a long time trying to figure it out, or I could just bail and do something fun.
Well, the experts couldn't figure it out.
Well,
so yeah, I don't know clearly why we should.
There are a few people, though, that they can always point to after something like this happens and go, here's a guy who was warning us and no one listened. I mean, there are some people out there smart enough, but they're not the right people to be able to make it so that it gets prevented, I guess.
Plus, you don't know who's right beforehand. There's 100,000 people telling you what's going on. Most of them are wrong.
I did hear a guy interviewed who was one of those guys who was waving his hands and warning everyone, and no one was listening. And he said, and now here's what's really baffling to me. I predicted it. Is anyone coming to me to ask me now what's going to happen? No.
Really?
No.
Wow. Good time.
We are going to take your phone calls. By the way, I noticed DeJuan is already on the line. DeJuan, we'll get to you in 1 minute, but you can give us a call for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew 2009 at 1-800-520-1067. I have already lost money in 2009.
Wow. You don't even bet.
We had an office pool on whether Kevin was going to show up on time today. First show of the year. We figured there's no way. At least I did.
It was close.
Here you are.
My kids asked me what my New Year's resolution was because they just kind of discovered that. And mm-hmm. I said to be more organized and to be on time. And I have never left later in my life than today. I mean, and I was just thinking, this is the first day of work. I can't do it. And I was speeding. And when I heard him play, what was the last song you played?
Social D.
Social D. When I heard him start that song, I was like, oh, thank God I'm going to make it. Otherwise, I would have been screwed.
If it had been a Jack Johnson song or something, you would have been here on time. I see. Yeah. Well, it is tough the first day you get up after you've been able to sleep in for a little bit of time. Lisa walked in this morning. Very first words out of her mouth were what, Lisa?
I don't remember. Oh, I know.
This is BS.
This is BS.
Yeah, it is.
And Mike said what? And she said, work.
This whole thing here. Who thought this up?
I don't know, but I see misery. That's what I see.
Someone who thought you need to have a way to pay your mortgage, I guess, as we thought this out.
All right, so. It is Monday, and it's the 5th of January. And we need a new sound effect. Can we say every year for January?
And we never get one.
Let's take your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You missed first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
All right. How about a pair of tickets to see Kevin's Los Angeles Kings taking on the New Jersey Devils this Saturday night, January the 10th? That's along with passes to join Kings legend Marty McSorley and K-Rock's Psycho Mike at the LA Kings tailgate party.
Woo!
Wow. You're doing that, huh, Mike?
Yeah!
Okay,
wow.
That's what you get.
I'm going to be there too. There's a bunch of bands and there's Luke Robitaille's going to be down there.
Really?
Yeah, there's a huge celebration.
Awesome.
Why this particular game? Why are they pulling all the stops for this game?
Don't know.
The K-Rock Kings tailgate parties are so much fun, though.
Yeah, they are.
That's true.
It's an awesome time.
It's because hockey fans rule. That's why.
True.
So, I went to about 3 different games, and I have a bone to pick with them, however, about the music they play. We don't have time for now, or right now for this, but The songs they play to hockey fans just destroy me. I just sit yeah. there going crazy. All right, let's begin the year with DeJuan, shall we?
Oh, yes.
DeJuan from Los Angeles, California.
What's up, Kevin and Bean? Hey, Lisa. Hey, Psycho Mike.
Hi. Good morning, DeJuan.
How's it going?
Good, homie. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well.
Yeah. DeJuan, how was your Christmas? What'd you do? What'd you get? What's going on?
It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I see you didn't change the batteries in your smoke detector again. I see that.
I'm going to change that.
DeJuan, yeah. We heard that smoke detector battery thing beeping early December last yes. year. That's kind of important.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And I bought my own Christmas present.
You bought your own Christmas present for yourself?
I got Resident Evil 4, Sonic the Ring, Sonic Unleashed, and Super Smash Brothers Brawl.
Wow.
And also the Wii Zapper.
The Wii Zapper?
Yeah, for my Nintendo Wii.
Are all of those games Wii?
Yep.
Okay, what's the Zapper?
It's a new one.
A new one, okay.
But what kind of a game is it, DeJuan, I think is what we're asking.
Link Crossbow Training.
Okay.
Oh. Now, I understand that you and Psycho Mike were going to try to get together and have a Wii play date over the holidays, but that didn't happen?
Nope. I'm going to try to plan it this month.
Okay, all right. And did your family give you presents too, or just you bought your own?
My mom gave me money, but I cannot tell you how much.
Okay,
you don't have to.
You don't have to. That's all right.
Maybe some batteries, though, is what you can do with some of that, money. You could just get a couple of 9 volts.
I'm going to take the battery out.
No, DeJuan, listen,
you need to replace
that. That sounds safe.
DeJuan, listen, it's just a 9-volt battery. It's very cheap, and you need to replace it. You can take it out, but you also need to put in a new one because it'll let you know if there's a fire.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Try to take care of that sooner than later, though.
Okay.
All right.
And this go out to the LA Trade Tech students, everybody, and UCLA students.
All right. Yes, it does.
Okay,
I didn't know we were
dedicating phone calls now, but okay, that's great. All right. Please do something about that before you call us next time.
All right.
All right. We're concerned about you. That's all.
Okay.
All right.
He's the best. All right, let's go to Shannon Burbank. He or she is on line 4, and I see heresy here if this is true, what this person is calling to tell us.
Shannon, good morning.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
What'd it do?
Well, Takis are actually way better than Hot Cheetos.
What is?
Takis.
Takis.
You get them at the Vallarta. They're Mexican Hot Cheetos.
I'm going to have to try them.
We'll have to try them.
They are very good.
I can't imagine anything's better than the Hot Cheetos, and I ate nothing but Hot Cheetos during a holiday vacation. That's all I ate was Hot Cheetos.
Well, you can't stop once you start.
They're so good.
And by the way, we don't eat snack food or stuff that's bad for you until we hear kids high and drunk on it. And then we're in. And I haven't heard any kids talking about Takis.
True.
That's right. Exactly.
So.
We'll
take it under consideration.
It's actually a big thing in Burbank. We had a huge, me and my friends had a huge party where we compared Hot Cheetos and Takis, and Takis won.
They did the research.
You guys know how to party. I hope that was your New Year's Eve party.
Oh, no, it wasn't.
All right.
Actually, on Saturday, but it was actually really fun.
Hang on, let me go to the kids and see if that's true.
I just love Hot Cheetos! Yeah.
Sorry.
Nothing about Takis. All right. Thank you for the call. Speaking of New Year's Eve, let's talk to Mario Alhambra. He's on line 3. Mario, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What'd it do?
Hey, party people. I've been here.
What's going on?
Calling about that New Year's countdown for Dick Clark. I mean, remember when we used to say the guy never got old?
The Dick
what
Clark
the hell
countdown.
Happened?
Well, he had a stroke is what happened.
Yeah.
And I didn't see it, but I think Bean has some audio he's going to play in about a half hour.
Oh, boy. Take a look at Times Square. All that energy, all those happy people. They'll remember this night for a long, long time.
That's just a taste.
Wow.
That's just a tiny, tiny piece of the joy that Dick Clark brings millions of people as he brings their New Year's Eve party to a standstill.
He had a stroke, what, 3-4 years ago? And
yeah.
It left him like that. And God bless him. But don't stop putting him on TV. I mean,
that's all we're saying.
I don't want to see Muhammad Ali box either.
No, good point.
You know, I mean, there comes a time.
It's a little bit of a downer, don't you think, Mario? When you're watching the show and then he comes on, it doesn't say party.
No, it's says really my future.
It's very depressing.
It is depressing.
We're a year older, and God, Dick Clark, he's puppy like.
Puppy Lake.
Puppy Lake. Well, we do have some tape for you just after 6 o'clock. And the weirdest thing, and you'll hear some of this, is the makeout session, the mash that was going on between him and his wife at midnight. You know how they always kiss at midnight?
Oh, yeah.
They were going for it this year.
Dick Clark and his wife?
Yes, Dick Clark and his wife.
Wow. I've seen that with him.
For what seemed like hours on the TV. And his face is like all like shrunken now. And it's just gummy. I mean, he's pretty much gumming his wife to death. It was awful.
Man.
It was so sad. I would have rather seen Ryan kiss Lance Bass or whoever he went to the party with than Dick and his wife. It was rough.
Well, that's tough. Everybody loved him. He had that reputation of never aging.
Right.
And then this happened.
Like Lisa said, everybody loves Dick. She's famous for that.
Let's squeeze in one more. It's Dwayne in Fullerton. Good morning.
Morning, boys.
What's going on, man?
Good morning.
I was at New Year's Eve for Robbie Knievel jumping over the Mirage Volcano.
Uh-huh. Robbie Knievel is still doing stuff?
Yeah, but it was total BS because he jumped from the side. He never made it over the volcano. He just jumped to the side from the parking lot.
I saw that, and that was a completely bogus stunt. And by the way, take the volcano out of it, and it wasn't even a very long jump, and there was nothing dangerous about the volcano because they didn't even make the fire go off until after he'd already passed through it. There was nothing interesting about that jump, was there, Dwayne?
That was terrible.
You guys don't know. He's the captain.
Yeah, he is.
Of what?
So what he does well. He's the captain, Robbie Kinney.
That was a terrible show, too. My poor friend Mark Thompson having to host that one. That was awful. That was an awful, awful New Year's Eve show.
Should we call Mark and get him a new job?
He may need one after this. Yeah. Seriously.
All right. I like that that there's no topic, no TV show anyone can bring up that Bean hasn't seen.
I know it.
I love that. Even if it's bad, he's seen it.
I do tend to watch the New Year's Eve shows because they're all horrible. There's not a single decent New Year's Eve show. I don't know why that is. But they're terrible.
Because most people have plans, I think, including the stars.
No, they get plenty of stars. I mean, there's no shortage of entertainment on those programs.
I think it's like Super Bowl shows. They're trying to appeal to everyone.
Maybe that's what it is.
And that just makes them horrible for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a rough night of TV.
All right, good times.
But we'll hear some of the Dick Clark highlights coming up. And by the way, if you have not yet heard, Kathy Griffin made some headlines of herself on CNN. With the New Year's Eve show that she co-hosted with Anderson Cooper. Wait to hear that tape. I'll play some of that for you, too.
Did not hear that. I'm excited about that. So we got that New Year's Eve audio coming up. We're going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Oh, yeah.
Check out what's going on in the world of celebrities.
Yep.
And I kid you not, people, we got a dude from 10 items or less. We got him.
First big guest booking of 2009.
How do we do it? 10 items or less is a TV show that's on... I want to say the Oxygen Network.
I think so.
I'm not sure.
It's on Outdoor Life. Or Versus. Now it's on Versus, I guess.
So we got that coming up today. We got to talk about holiday disasters. This is always great because you get together with family and things go south. And that's always fun as well. Plus, we got some giveaways and other crap. So that's all.
And we have to talk about Charles Barkley, which is the best arrest of 2008. And they saved it right till the very end. But Sir Charles is magic in every respect. I love that dude.
I love that dude, too. I haven't really seen how he got in trouble. So I'm excited to hear that.
Yeah, I don't know much about it.
You're going to be so excited. Let's just say that he was speeding to get to some hot oral sex. That's what was going on with Sir Charles. And by the way, his wife probably found out about it on the news.
Oh, no. Yeah, he's the best. Isn't he running for governor or something of Alabama?
He says eventually he plans to. I don't know. The kind of guy he is, this won't even hurt him, though.
Yeah,
nobody's going to look at this and go, I'm not going to vote for that guy now.
True.
Because you either buy Sir Charles or you don't, and I am in.
All right, 5:43, we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is the Kevin and Bean Show, all new for 2009.
K-A-G-L-E-S,
Eagles! We're also wearing a Donovan McNabb jersey.
And why not?
Today.
Why aren't you wearing a Kurt Warner jersey is a better question, Kevin. How about you having a team still in the playoffs?
Kevin's got a team in the NFL playoffs.
What's up with that?
I... I
bought you a Cardinals jersey one year for Christmas, I think.
This is the day you should be wearing it. I mean, Dave's Falcons folded. My Seahawks have been out since about week three. Mike's Cowboys, of course, was the most glorious sports collapse of the year, maybe next to the Broncos.
Oh, Tony Romo just fumbled again.
That was the best. I do nothing but laugh at Psycho Mike when I watch Cowboy games. I really just to myself, I just go.
But that game when Philadelphia spanked Dallas to eliminate them from the playoffs was just fun from kickoff to conclusion. It was so much fun. Every minute of that game was entertaining.
Good times.
It really was.
Good times.
What a confluence of circumstances. What a remarkable set of happenings came to pass to get the Eagles into the playoffs.
Sometimes it's really complicated. You got to have seven different teams do this, and another team has to lose, and then this team has to beat another one, and it's absurd.
The Raiders, by the way, had to win in order for the Eagles to get in. That's how impossible it was.
And then you're thinking, wow, well, that's it then.
And yet
we're out.
That happened that weekend. So to all my Raiders brethren out there, all the Raider Nation, Raiders!
You 6 weeks ago came in and said, well, it's over.
I was done.
It's done.
Well,
yeah.
They were 5-5-1. I was like, that's it. You know, this is a write-off this season. So this is all
gravy. And they looked fantastic yesterday, too,
all gravy for me, this playoff.
There was that one game where McNabb was awful and they replaced him.
They benched him,
And that was it. That was the turnaround of the season
for
them.
Against Baltimore.
You don't do that to McNabb. That he came back and he was like.
I think it certainly got his attention.
Oh, no, you don't.
Oh, I better start playing now. I didn't know that could happen.
Have you ever seen him as happy as he was on the sidelines yesterday? He was having a ball.
He's giddy. Yeah,
he's giddy right now. Yeah, it's very exciting right now.
Because he gets to also, you know, flip the giant bird to all the Eagles fans who were, clamoring for his removal and to ride him out of town on a rail. And we need a new quarterback and all that stuff.
That's good. I like Eagles fans like that because they turn on their quarterback like that.
Yeah, it's brutal, that town. To be a sports figure in Philadelphia is like the hardest job in America. But so he gets, I think, satisfaction on a lot of levels.
Mike, would you say that Cowboy fans were giddy as well?
Yeah.
Or not quite as much?
I think they were woozy. I don't know.
Woozy. Yeah, that's not the same.
Mike's got his Tony Romo cap on, actually. That was the same cap Tony was wearing in his post-game conference after that game. And someone on ESPN or NFL Network or one of the shows said, you know what Tony needs to do? Wear less of that hat. Because, really, you're the Dallas Cowboys quarterback, not a jaunty 1930s newsboy in a musical. Which I thought was funny.
Oh, dear God.
Well, we will talk NFL and all the other sports stuff, including what's going on with the Lakers, by the way. We'll talk to Matt Smith, former sports guy, later this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, 5:52, Monday morning. First look at the showbiz beat for 2009. What's going on, Ralph?
Let's see if I remember how to do this. Let's take a look at the Monday morning box office results for the movies over the weekend. Marley and Me, still the number one movie in America. And I'll tell you, nothing's funnier than a dog eating tile.
Too close to home, Ralph?
No, actually. Reggie's well-behaved compared to Marley. That Marley.
Every dog is
He's a minx. That Marley. He is just out of control. Oh, let's make a movie about him because he just does things that are bad and then you can't stop him because he's Marley.
I thought it was about a love story between a person and a dog, how much they love their dog, no?
Well,
I didn't
it
see
is,
it.
But
I don't know.
The dog is really,
Marley's
really
bad.
Bad.
He's
like,
a
most
bad
people
dog.
Would have put that dog down.
Guys,
seriously.
You know, second to smart alecky kids, the only thing funnier to me is misbehaving dogs.
Sure.
I would stick my foot so far up that dog's butt. That dog would be puppy lake about week two, that freaking dog. No. But oh, it's hilarious. Oh, Jennifer Aniston, look at Marley. He just ate some kid. Oh, that's so Marley.
Crazy Marley.
Wipe the blood off your fangs, Marley. $24 million Marley and Me made this weekend. It's made like $4 billion so far. People just love Marley. Marley was on the...
Nope. Marley was not on anything.
Marley guest starred on the NFL pregame show. No, you saw that or not.
She didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't.
Yeah. And they had Marley bring in the picks 2 weeks ago, and he walked him in the studio, and Jimmy Johnson was like, really? I used to coach the Dallas Cowboys. Now I'm co-starring with Marley.
Now I'm talking to a dog.
Yeah.
You see poor Jimmy Johnson yesterday when Jared came out with Subway sandwich ideas for the Super Bowl parties. Mm-hmm. Did you see that? Oh,
that was sad.
Yeah.
They're like everybody else. They're getting money where they can. If Subway will pay them, they'll put them on TV.
Bedtime Stories was number two at the box office.
What?
Is that Adam Sandler?
That's Adam Sandler?
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Curious Case of Benjamin Button came in at number three. Then
Boring!
I didn't even bother.
It's one of the most boring movies I've ever seen.
Really
I don't have that kind of time
good.
To commit to a movie.
It was
the
good.
The reviews weren't that good.
It was really well done, except for it was the same scene 500 times.
Yeah. Sure is getting younger, isn't he?
Everyone else sure is getting older,
wow,
aren't they?
Wow, look at him. Look at him passing him. He's getting younger. They're getting older.
Well done, but same scene. They just kept going and going and going and going. Yeah. I left. It's one of the few movies I've left.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wicked Pictures needs to start working on Curious Case of Benjamin Buttman right now, though. I just want to say that.
All right.
Valkyrie was number 4 at the box office.
Saw that.
Can't beat Tom Cruise in an eye patch.
I heard it was good.
Better than I thought. And he has an eye patch.
He sure does.
That's really. And he has a fake eye that he can pop in, by the way, at any point.
Sweet.
Well, now like, I'm sold.
Sometimes he takes the eye patch off, pops in the eye, looks normal.
It's like Nazi Mission Impossible. Puts on a face, like a Hitler mask that he makes out of a computer.
Then he takes it back out and puts the eye patch back on. That's pretty good.
Look, pick one or the other. You don't get the patch and the fake eye. Yes Man was number 5 at the box office. 7 Pounds was number 6. Did anyone see 7 Pounds?
I did.
You did?
I saw that.
What the hell is that movie about?
It's
about a guy who...
who's doing things for people.
Who weighs 7 yes. pounds?
He donates some organs.
He's doing things for people to make up for something bad that happened in his life previously.
Sweet. Oh, he's donating organs.
Finally.
Well,
I
wouldn't have given that much away, but
it's
yeah.
Before I went to the movie, I knew that.
Yeah, okay.
It's been
I had no idea.
Everywhere.
Now I know what 7 pounds means. 7 pounds of colon or something. Give it up.
I don't think I would want the 7 pound colon.
Wicked Pictures should also work on that.
That's a good band name.
That movie. 7 pounds of man. The Tale of Despero. Oh, that little mouse with a sword. He's cute. Doubt was number 8. Oh, that pedophile priest. He's cute. The Day the Earth Stood Still was number 9. And then Slumdog Millionaire rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Think you had a good New Year's Eve?
Sure.
I know Bean did. He was watching television.
Yeah, he does. That's his thing.
Why is there no good TV on New Year's Eve? Because you're an a-hole if you're watching television on New Year's Eve. That's why. You
just
get what you deserve.
It seems like there are a lot of parties. It wouldn't be that difficult to put on a good one. That's all I'm suggesting.
There's a lot of parties. It wouldn't be so difficult to go to one.
Right.
That's why I look at it. Instead of staying home watching television like an Asperger's loser.
I can't imagine the ratings are good. I mean, I can't imagine there are that many eyes watching television that night.
There shouldn't be. Should only be bad television on New Year's Eve.
That's true.
As a penance for sitting home and watching television.
Get what you deserve.
That's right. Matt Dillon, actor, star of Crash and other feature films, was stopped in Newbury, Vermont on New Year's Eve. He was caught in a 65-mile-an-hour zone going 106 miles an hour.
Oh, wow. He was in a hurry.
Yes. It was the Kevin Ryder School of Driving he graduated from.
That is crazy fast. No one should go that fast.
Yeah. He'll be in court on January the 21st to face charges. No word on whether he had been cocktailing or not. But regardless.
Yeah.
I hope he was sober because that's a speed.
That's just nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to take that after a couple cocktails. Sad news for me personally and Mrs. Hingle. I think that's about it. Actor Pat Hingle has passed away. He, of course, played Commissioner Gordon in a bunch of the Batman movies in the
80s.
With Michael Keaton and Val Kilmer I think just those. No, I think he was in the Clooney one, too. He played Commissioner Gordon in all three of those films.
Yeah, I don't think anyone cares.
I do. He was great. Commissioner Gordon. 84 years old, he passed away. And it looks like we now know how Dr. Dre's son, Andre Young Jr., passed away. The autopsy has been completed, and according to a spokesperson for Los Angeles County Coroner's Office, the 20-year-old died from an overdose of heroin and morphine.
Oh,
wow.
Mm. Yeah, apparently an accidental overdose is what it's being called. Andre's mother, Janita Porter, said that he had been out with friends. She heard him snoring early in the morning, but when she went to rouse him later that day, he was unconscious and had passed away. Heroin and morphine. Bad cocktail.
Doesn't seem like a good mix.
It does not.
Especially when your father's a doctor, it seems like you ought to know better. At least you have to get some help. That's all I'm suggesting.
Not the
Excuse me, was he Dr. Dre?
He is, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're right.
Correct.
He is a doctor. I
Thank
stand
you.
Corrected. That's my New Year's resolution.
Just
agree with Bean and move on. So much easier. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Actor Robert Duvall, he is 78 years old today. Diane Keaton turns 63. Vinnie Jones, actor and...
love him.
From X-Men. And a bunch of other films. He is 44. Marilyn Manson turns 40 years old today. January Jones from the TV series Mad Men. is 31 years old. Did you catch any of the Mad Men episodes this off-season, Kevin, while we were vacationing?
I didn't catch any per se. Ralph sent me the series on the DVD, but I did.
I wrote on it, give it a chance.
No.
Great gift.
Decent amount of time transferring it all onto my iPod. I have every episode now on my video iPod, so now I'm ready to start getting through it.
Now you cannot watch it at your convenience.
I'm ready. That's how I watch stuff now. I'm ready to start getting into it.
All right. Then you will fall in love with January Jones on the series Mad Men. She is a stunner. 31 years old today. And Kristen Cavallari from Laguna Beach celebrates her 22nd birthday today. I wonder if Kristen has ever said anything that we could use to mark her birthday celebration.
If you and Steven had babies, they'd be so good looking. They would.
Because Steven's all tan.
Yeah.
Best moment in television history right there.
Happy birthday, you genius. Here, she's 22 years old. Ralph Garman, I walk the show.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's a brand new program. Hard to believe, I know. Our vacation wasn't long enough. That's all I'm saying.
No kidding.
I agree. I think you're right about that. It is the beautiful month of January, by the way, and K-Rock is giving away stuff just in time for winter, including a brand new Burton snowboard every day at 7 a.m., which is next hour, of course, then at 11, 3, and 7. We're going to be giving them away. Hey, by the way, did Cinco de la Tarde get canceled, or are we still doing that?
Oh, I believe we're still doing it.
We're still on this afternoon?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So, yeah, keep listening. You not only win the snowboard, but you apparently on Cinco de la Tarde today, you're going to get hooked up with a trip to Telluride, Colorado. I know nothing about that, but I guess I'll go to krock.com and find out details about that.
It's a whole trip. I mean, you get the airfare, you get the hotel accommodations,
really?
Everything. Yeah, it's very cool.
Nice.
Very cool.
All right. Now, before we listen to some of this audio from New Year's Eve ABC, their annual tradition of the Rockin' New Year's Eve with Dick Clark, let me just say, we're not really making fun of people who have had strokes. And I do know that every year when we talk about what happened to Dick Clark, we get angry emails from people who say, hey, that's not funny. My dad had a stroke. We're not making fun of people who have strokes. What we're doing is suggesting that maybe Dick Clark has effectively ended his service to America.
Well, you know, we mentioned
he's given enough. Don't cart him out there in his wheelchair and put him in a booth on New Year's Eve anymore. Don't do that because he is not a party starter anymore.
We mentioned Muhammad Ali. He's a guy who cannot box anymore and shouldn't.
Right.
He has Parkinson's, right?
Right.
And yes. He's shaking and he doesn't have the ability to box anymore, so he shouldn't get in the ring. Well, Dick Clark hosts TV shows. That's his job. Maybe.
There are certain skills that are required.
Right. And
he doesn't really have it anymore.
And perhaps through no fault of his own, he's not able to do it anymore.
He does a lot of behind the scenes stuff. He should keep doing that.
Yeah, I think he still owns the show, for instance. So it's his decision to go on. But at some point, ABC needs to say, thanks, Dick. Ryan's got it from here.
I'm not positive if it's his. I think somebody's got a gun to his head. I really
Well, maybe you're right about that. But anyway, every year we sit there, at least I sit there, and just wait for the moment that they put Dick on TV and wonder how bad it's going to be. So here's the first appearance of Mr. Clark on New Year's Eve.
Speaking of the man, the master of ceremonies, it is my pleasure and honor to welcome the man synonymous with New Year's Eve, Mr. Dick Clark. Hey, Dick!
So right at that point, I'm just sitting on the edge of my seat going, okay, what's it going to be like? Because he's not, forget the stroke, he's now another year older. He's now pushing 80.
It's really uncomfortable, too, because, you know, you kind of hope that maybe he got a little better. I don't know how that works, but you kind of hope that he got better.
Yeah, sometimes they have therapy.
Because it's kind of...
it improves.
It's really sad when he talks, and that's another reason why New Year's Eve may be not the right program for him.
Thank you, Ron, very, very much. I'm nice and warm. It's so warm. It's warm as a cold. Oh, boy.
Okay. Dick just gave up right there. All right. He's trying to say something about he's warm in the studio while Ryan is freezing his ass off outside, but he gets confused or screws up or something and gives up. Let's hear it again.
Thank you, Ryan, very, very much. I'm nice and warm. It's so warm. It's warm as a cold. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. I can't even get this out.
He's I've been on for 5 seconds.
He's
and I
the
suck.
Me of TV.
Anyway, there's no place like Times Square on New Year's Eve. And this looks like the best year ever.
Yeah, it looks like it's going good for you, Dick.
Oh, my God.
We've got about 1 million people lined up down Broadway, and we've got cameras everywhere. So we won't miss a thing. It's the biggest party in the world. Don't you dare go away.
Well, why would you? Why would you see that and then go away? Why would you switch over to any other channel when you've got that master of ceremonies?
The entire time.
Wow.
Yeah, that's another thing is clearly it's tough for him to do this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard for him to talk for any length of time. A little more, Dick, and then I'm going to tell you they've added a new element to New Year's Eve on ABC that's far more disturbing than Dick Clark hosting, and you'll find out what it is here in a moment.
We're back in New York. Now, earlier today, you can see sitting workers wearing bright red uniforms down there.
He's talking about city workers and police officers, all the people who have to work to prepare Times Square for the New Year's Eve festivities. And then the point he's trying to make is those same people, as soon as the party's over, have to start cleaning it up.
Oh, I see.
That's what he's trying to say.
A single word.
I know.
I heard sitting burgers.
I speak Nick.
He has thousands of bags of streamers, balloons, all kinds of fun stuff. And later tonight, those very same employees will be cleaning it all up. Only in New York. Kelly.
Okay. Kelly Pickler is on the show now. Now, do you guys know that name?
Yes.
Is she the singer from American Idol?
Yes.
The really dumb one.
The really dumb one. The really loud, dumb blonde, who by all accounts is very, very nice. People like her. She's very effervescent and excitable.
She's singing?
She's doing the thankless job on New Year's Eve, which is the person who has to interview the people in the street.
Oh,
the person who does nothing all night long but, hey, where are you from? Isn't it cold? But look, Dick's tough enough to listen to after the stroke. This is Kelly Pickler and her voice.
Kelly.
Thank you, Dick, so much for having me. We're having a lot of fun tonight, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, it's great.
That's Kelly Pickler.
Wow.
And I am telling you, listen to some more of her because she, honestly, keep Dick, fire Kelly is what I have to say.
The fireworks are ready. The crowd is ready. The stars of the evening are ready. And right in the middle of it is Kelly Pickler. Kelly.
Hey, Ryan, you're exactly right. I'm in the middle of all the fun.
By the way, here's the other thing that Kevin and I have long said about New Year's Eve is they do everything they can to make it seem like the best party in the world. Like no one in the world is having more fun than I am standing here at 0 degrees with a million New Yorkers.
We're having such a great time. You have to be here.
Yeah.
And by the way, in reality, I would never want to go if there's a million people in Times Square.
And they're just standing there.
They're not doing anything. Right. And nothing about it looks fun.
Yeah.
Nothing. Yet, listen to the excitement of Kelly Pickler and how she's got these people all riled up, or at least is trying to.
You guys excited about 2009?
Yeah, I'm going to be a dad.
Oh, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You look so amazing. You're so beautiful.
Thank you.
What's your name?
My name is Batul.
Is there anyone you want to give a shout out to tonight?
Yes, my new husband, Eugene, from the Bay Area.
Oh, you guys are so amazing. Thanks for coming. Hey. Oh, look. Back to you, Ryan.
By the way, her husband, who she's giving a shout out to, is standing next to her in the crowd.
How are they not together? That's some sort
of violation, right?
Yes.
You can't shout out to somebody that's also in the picture.
No, you can't. That should be a basic rule of television.
I don't know the rules of shout outs, but that seems like it goes contrary to it.
So Kelly throws it back to Dick, and he is just blown away by the excitement coming off the streets in New York. And listen to his reaction to her.
All right, Dick!
Holy mackerel! Kelly!
That's what
Dick
happened?
Dick's making fun of Kelly? Really?
He's making fun of Kelly.
Kelly!
Wow! He's got balls the size of my head.
80-year-old Strokey making fun of 20-year-old Kelly out in the crowd.
That's awesome.
Thank you. Every year we present great performers live from time.
Okay.
What?
This is Dick trying to introduce the Jonas Brothers, okay?
Okay.
Which, by the way, Dick, the point in your career where you are, so much that you've given to America, you shouldn't have to be involved in anything that has to do with the Jonas Brothers, okay? You're above that. But listen to him try to do this.
Thank you. Every year we present great performers live on Times Square. And you're about to see one of the biggest groups around. Boy, oh boy, have they had a whirlwind. I guess every young girl down there has been waiting for this moment. Is it who, Ryan?
And then Ryan brings on the...
Do they put the words up across the bottom of the screen so you can understand them? Honestly, right. I'm not kidding, because I didn't understand about three-quarters of that.
Apparently they've had a whale of a career.
Well, here's the thing. Here's one last thing about Dick Clark and how he had a stroke and how he's on TV. I don't know. Limit the amount of work that he... If you're going to put him on TV, maybe just a word or two.
And figure out sentences he can say.
Don't give him the heavy lifting.
Yeah. Or pre-record him. I don't know. Do something. Yeah. All right. One last clip. And for this, I'm going to play it on the radio, but you may also want to go to the front page of... Is it front page of KROQ.com or the Kevin and Beans? Okay. Right.
Kevin and Bean. Front page of Kevin and Bean.
You will see the video of Mr. Clark counting down, as he has for almost every year of the last 35 years, counting down to midnight and wishing everyone a happy new year. And then the tradition is that his wife, who's off camera, steps into the frame and they generally kiss at midnight.
Right.
I don't know what was going on this year, but they started making out. And you'll hear some of that in this clip, too. But let's get to midnight first.
A great new year is almost here. We're about 45 seconds away. Dick, are you ready to do this one more time, buddy?
One more time. Thank you, Ron. This is why everybody's here. They know this is the greatest New Year's Eve party anywhere. A lot of them have been here for over 10 hours. We're about 30 seconds ago.
By the way, as the crowd gets louder, Dick gets more and more drowned out. But he's not. It's not possible for him to talk louder. He's doing the best he can.
But when does he start counting down? It was 30. It was 45 seconds till the new year, about a minute and a half ago.
He's getting ready to. And, of course, Dick always falls behind the crowd. I mean, it's difficult for him to keep up at this point.
Hear the noise. It's ready to count it out. 19, 18, 70, 60, 50, 14.
At least he didn't miss any numbers this year. He did that one year.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year!
That's such an endurance test for Dick. Okay, so his wife is getting ready to walk into the frame here, and I'm going to turn this up. I won't say anything. You should be able to hear them slurping each other as he gums her to death. Making out with your grandparents on TV, I'll tell you that.
And she didn't want any part of it. I was just watching the video. She, you know, comes in for the TV kiss, the little peck,
right.
And he just was.
And then Dick grabs her by the boobs and brings her back in and just mounts her practically.
He was horny.
He was.
Poor woman. Is that part of her job description? Does she have to make out with him now?
I mean, it's just his wife, but I mean, and Dick has lost a lot of weight since last year, and he's kind of Skeletor-like, and it's more gum than it is lip.
Maybe he's thinking this is his last opportunity.
He's going to get some. He's going to get it on TV. How you like me now, America?
Come on.
They came to party, and they were disappointed.
Welcome to the Rodney on the Rock Show. I'm here, ready to get going with some new music, and of course, some of your favorites from the 2008.
One or the other.
What?
The 80s or 2008?
All the way back in 2008. Remember those songs you loved so much back then? Well, we've still got them for you today. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. The Kevin and Bean Show 09, by the way. It is 6:24 Monday morning. Time to check in with our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, the hardest working man in show business. Hey, Harvey, Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Happy New Year to you guys. We were busy while you guys were gone.
Yeah, yes, you were.
Kidding.
Yes, with so many stories, including some just tragic ones, which must be tough for you and your staff when those are the stories you got to deal with. It's not that much fun, huh?
This was, you know, the Travolta thing was really weird for us. And I truly mean this. I mean, we found out about the story and we broke it. And it's one of those things where we put it up. I mean, we knew it was true, but then all of a sudden, you know, you see a Wire story and you think, God, I hope they say we were wrong. And, it's a weird, like, reaction to it, because that's just, you know, you never say that in this job, but, oh, it was just, you know, on a New Year's Day.
How old was his son when he passed away?
16.
Oh, that's
and the timeline is starting to come together from the police and the EMT and the witness and stuff. Why don't you tell people, Harvey, maybe who checked out a little bit over the holiday weekend, really weren't paying attention, kind of what happened to John Travolta's son?
I'll try to make this succinct, but it's a little complicated here. And here's what happened. They were vacationing in the Bahamas, the whole family. Jet was a special needs kid.
Mm-hmm.
There were reports he had autism. And there are certainly physical and physical signs that he did. But John Travolta says he never had autism. He had this thing called Kawasaki syndrome, which is something usually that 4- and 5-year-olds get. The reason all of this is important is because there was this whole overlay of Scientology where, you know, people were saying, well, gee, they don't believe in autism and they don't want to give people drugs for it. So this has been going on for a long time. What we know and what we've been doing on the website is we know that this boy suffered from grand mal seizures and really, really serious ones that, you know, you could get from autism, you could get from Kawasaki, but he really had bad ones. So he was found in the bathroom the day after New Year's by the nanny at 10 in the morning, unresponsive. John Travolta came in, was frantically doing CPR for 15, 20 minutes,
wow,
and couldn't revive him, and ultimately he was pronounced dead at the hospital. So that's the that's basically what happened. Now, the complication here is that there were two nannies there. The boy was last seen going into the bathroom the night before, and his body was discovered at 10 a.m. So the police are saying, or intimating, that he may have gone undetected in that bathroom for 10, 11 hours.
Right.
The Travolta people that we were talking to over the weekend were just bristling at this and saying, look, we had two nannies. They were really attentive. We don't believe that's the case. We think he may have gone into the bathroom and then back out and then in again. But here's the thing. They had a baby monitor for him because he had so many seizures that his breathing would change, so the nanny could listen to the breathing monitor, and there was a chime on the bathroom door.
Right.
So the question is, did this kid go back into the bathroom? And if he did, how come the nanny didn't hear it? And was he laying there for 10, 11 hours? And that's one of the things that the Travolta family is dealing with, that the police are suggesting, and the family is just really angry over.
I gotcha.
And he had these seizures that, you know, any one of which could kill him, like once a week or something for a long time, right, Hardy?
He was having seizures once every 4 days, and you're right. I mean, one of the people in his camp told me it was like coming. It was like dying. I mean, there were horrible seizures.
Wow.
They put him on this medicine, and this is contrary to these reports out there that Travolta wouldn't put him on meds. They did put him on an anti-seizure medicine that worked for a while, but over time it lost his effectiveness, and then had potential physical damage that it could cause, so they took him off it.
Right.
But he was just it was just a really difficult situation.
Mm. Yeah, really, really, really sad. All right, let's change topics. We're talking to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, world's greatest entertainment website. Let's cheer everybody up, Harvey. Tell folks who haven't heard
what you're going to do
about the best arrest of 2008.
The best. Oh, the best arrest. You know, guys, honestly, in some ways, and I hate to be so bold, you know, right after New Year's, maybe the best arrest ever on TMZ.
Sure.
Wow.
And that's pretty tough. I mean, there's a lot of competition for
that. There's a lot of competition. But so Charles Barkley's in Arizona, right?
Yep.
And he is at a bar, and he leaves the bar and allegedly blows a stop sign, so to speak.
Well, here it goes.
That's a happy stop sign.
So the police see him, and they pull him over, and it's a sobriety checkpoint. And so apparently, you know, if this is all true, he is three sheets to the wind. And rather than, you know, trying to, like, pretend sober, he basically looks at the cops and says, "You see that woman over there?" And he points to this woman who supposedly is about to get in his car, and he says, "Look, she was getting in my car to give me a," and he was talking about, you guys finished the sex.
Sure, oral sex.
I don't know.
Oral sex, right.
Thank you.
Okay.
And so he says, "The best he's ever had."
Sure.
Just a week ago, and he wanted a repeat performance.
Oh.
So it was like, you know, if this ever went to trial, would it not be the best defense ever?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, and by the way, if the cop were cool, he would have said, "Well, when you put it that way, I guess I can understand where you're coming from. Have a good night."
Yeah, I mean, in a twisted sort of way, it probably was his best hope to get out of this thing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But he did.
And he was apparently just feeling great, and he was jolly, and he was laughing, and he was joking around. And tell him what the offer was he made at the police station, Harvey.
Oh, God. Guys, help me out here. I'm just blanking. It was, oh, it's just so funny. Help me out.
Bean? He goes to the police station and he says, I'll tattoo my name on your ass if you get me out of this DUI. And then he realized that he said it backwards. He said, no, I'll tattoo your name on my ass is what I meant to say. But he's just like cutting deals with the people at the station. It's just so funny.
I love him.
You got to love him for that. I mean, you know, and the funny thing is that technically the tattooing part is kind of obstruction of justice, but nobody would ever prosecute him for it because it's so funny.
Or bribery, right? Or something like that.
Bribery. It's just hilarious.
Now, does everybody think that he was telling the truth about that woman, or did he make it up on the fly?
Well...
Oh, it looks true. I mean, he said he picked up that same woman a week ago, and that's when he got the greater
oral
sex.
All I can say is, and I'm not going to, it's funny you asked me that. All I can say is that we have something that could go up on the site later today. We need to authenticate it,
but it
makes me think it's true. That there is such a woman.
Interesting.
And what quarter is she on in Arizona? I'm sorry. What's the address?
All right. One more thing, Harvey, and that is I want to make sure that you get the credit because you told us at the time that Heather Locklear was popped for her DUI in Central California. You said you did not think that was going to end up being the charge that was presented, and you were right on this one.
Did I not say that?
You did, yeah.
Yeah, you did. You did at the time, yeah.
So, the miracle worker lawyer, Blair Burke, who's represented Lindsay Lohan and Mel Gibson and Brittany and all these people, Blair Burke goes into court last Friday and cuts a deal, and she ends up getting reckless driving, which is way less than a DUI.
That's a misdemeanor, right?
It's a total misdemeanor, and all she has to do is basically she's on informal probation, and she has to go to this drug education class for 12 hours. But the deal is that, you know, the blood test came back, and there were prescription drugs in her system.
Right.
So this could have been a tough case on the one hand to win, but two things are going on. Number one, the whole way it went down was kind of weird, and as a result, you know, I think that would have been a problem for the prosecutor. But the bigger thing is, Heather Locklear is a really beloved person, and I think, you know, any jury that would see Heather Locklear, you know, walk into court and sitting there, there'd be so much sympathy. I think it just made sense for him, but I just knew this thing was going to get pled down.
Yeah.
Plus, the fact that it was prescription drugs, too. It's not like she was on, you know, cocaine or something like that, and there was no alcohol involved. I mean,
no,
she definitely had some things going in her favor, but you definitely called that.
But the thing is, I mean, prescription drugs, it's still driving under the influence. Driving under the influence, it doesn't, you know, they don't say, well, it's better because it's Valium as opposed to cocaine.
Right.
I don't know. I think there's a little more sympathy if it's something that you have been prescribed that you're taking for a reason rather than just something you're abusing, I think.
No. I mean, the sympathy factor, yeah. But I'm just saying in terms of driving, you know, you get just as impaired. You know, you're still impaired.
However you're impaired is you're impaired.
Exactly.
Right.
All right, well, go to TMZ.com for updates on these and other stories, and you won't want to miss the picture of Ryan Seacrest with the Playmate of the Year at some Caribbean hotspot this weekend, too, buddy. That one will break your heart when you see that picture. That one will break your heart.
She looked amazing, I guess you got to say.
Well, girlfriends do like to hang out together, so I guess that's what's going on there.
Oh, you guys are so bitter.
All right, Harvey, Happy New Year to you, man. Thanks for coming on again.
Happy New Year, guys.
Thank you. Bye now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 641.
K-Rock's own Ralph Garman, by the way, will be along with the Showbiz Beat in just a couple minutes, and you can see him on TV tomorrow night. We'll tell you all about that and talk to one of his co-stars from the show, 10 Items or Less, coming up after the news at 7 this morning on K-Rock.
Let's talk about Bean, who has Asperger's syndrome. And
I just found out I have Asperger's syndrome.
Well, the retired policeman has Asperger's syndrome. I certainly don't.
I know it sounds funny because it sounds like it's A-S-S-B-U-R-G-E-R-S, Asperger's, but it's with a P, Asperger.
Yeah.
And it is a type of autism. Where you're highly functioning, but you have really, really bad social skills.
Yes.
There was an episode of House where Dr. House was accused of having the Asperger's. You remember?
Asperger's syndrome is a mild and rare form of autism. It is typically characterized by difficulty establishing friendships and playing with peers, trouble accepting conventional social rules, and they dislike any change in setting or routine.
Now, Kevin is always trying to pin this one on me for some reason, to which I reply, nope.com.
Well, here's an Asperger quiz, just really quickly. This is the type of person. If you answer most of these questions, yes, you have this mild form of autism. I prefer to do things on my own rather than with people. I find it hard to make new friends. It upsets me greatly if my daily routine is disturbed. Just if any of these things strike a chord with Bean, and maybe I don't know how to tell if someone listening to me is getting bored. I'm obsessed with maps. I usually notice car license numbers are similar strings of information.
All right.
I find social situations difficult. I'm fascinated by numbers.
Okay, wow. That's fine. Look, I know that you made up that quiz to make it sound like it was all about me, but what's the point? Why bring up the Asperger's syndrome today on Kevin and Bean 09? What's this about?
A K-Rock listener, God bless him, I wish I remembered his name, sent me the link of a story about a girl who's being interviewed about her 11-year-old brother who has Asperger's, and she describes what it's like to live with him.
Oh.
And so I brought in the audio from the NPR, which, by the way, is it's death on a radio station. It is the most boring way for the most boring presentation ever. But if you want to sound smart, tell people you listen to NPR. That's very important. Here's the beginning.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Guy Raz.
All Things Considered, by the way. Just have that standing by. And if people go, hey, where do you get your news from? You could go, huh, All Things Considered, NPR. And they'll think
it's
you're
smart.
It's
a good show, Kevin. You should listen to All Things Considered.
Nope,
you would enjoy it.
It's a good show. Too boring.
About one child in every 150 is diagnosed with autism. 11-year-old Andrew Skillings is one of those children. He has Asperger's syndrome, a mild form of autism.
Okay, so this little kid has been diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome. And now they ask his 15-year-old sister to talk about what it's like living with him.
Okay.
Let's just see if this rings a bell.
I don't hate my brother. I'd kill for him. But I could kill him, too.
Yeah, sometimes she gets super frustrated. She doesn't hate him, but he does drive her crazy.
Okay.
That does happen. And then it goes on.
There is an alarm clock that if you push it,
Now, here's the part of this story. He goes on and on and on about stuff people don't care about. Ring a bell? So, no one asked about an alarm clock. Nobody
he just
said,
started talking
hey,
about
Andrew, you know anything about alarm clocks? He just volunteered it up.
Here is an alarm clock that if you push it, it tells you the time.
6:07.
He talks nonstop.
My mother gave this to me as a present.
Talking and talking. He'll tell anybody information about any animal, whether they want to hear it or not.
She had a snake that was, if it like laid down on the floor and stretched.
So I don't know.
I want to party with that kid.
Does that ring a bell with anyone?
You guys could hang out together.
He'll tell anyone. All kinds of information, regardless of whether they want to hear it or not.
And he doesn't care if they're listening.
That's that info bean.
How dare you.
So then she goes on.
Chicken legs.
Andrew!
Wow, chicken tastes good.
Okay, so that's a particular skill, by the way, of Asperger's, who insult you and then turn it around and try to make it sound like it was a compliment. No one does that more than Bean.
Yes, you're so right.
Insulting, but then somehow tries to make you think that it was a positive, that he was actually giving you a compliment.
Yep.
This is so Bean.
I don't know why you're making this
so that his 15-year-old sister talks about how she had to stay out of the house.
I started staying away from home around 5 or 6. I'd stay outside or go to friends' houses as long as I could till my mom called me home. I can sit down and talk with my parents, but a lot of times it's like Andrew's always trying to explain something about a cheetah or a jaguar, something in the jungle that has no importance to anybody's life, but...
But he keeps going and going. Honestly, well, do I need to play anymore?
Cheetahs are kind of interesting, though.
That's that info bean!
They don't have any concept of the listener and what that person is thinking or their interest level. They can't tell.
You know, we've always wondered why Bean's brother is so weird. Maybe it's because he had to grow up with Bean.
Yeah.
Never think about that.
That's true.
Why he stays away.
That's why he hasn't seen Bean in years and years and years, because Bean won't stop talking about animals and things people don't care about.
He doesn't want to kill him.
I just have Asperger's syndrome.
Wow.
Bean? So sad.
Andrew, Bean. Yeah. Listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7, KROQ at 6:55.
No one is more surprised than I am that this show is back in the air for 2009, but it is, in fact, the 5th of January,
Ralph is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat for a Monday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
No one's more disappointed than I am that the show's back on the air, by the way. I was hoping for some sort of buyout.
Yeah, well, it won't be long.
I was hoping to be one of those deals like when they fire a coach, you know, he's got a couple more years left on his contract. They just have to pay him out because the team's just going in the dumper.
Yeah.
Haven't made the playoffs 20 years running or whatever.
You don't know this company, do you? There's no payoff.
No, there really isn't.
No.
All right, before I get to the showbiz news, first day back, I'm already giving stuff away.
Ah. Dude.
How do you like me?
That's how you roll.
That's how I roll. I've got a New Year's gift for our listeners. If you are a fan, like I am, of Fox's 24 TV series,
love,
starring Kiefer Sutherland as Jack Bauer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
This is a pretty cool prize. This is a pretty cool prize. You know, the show's coming back. Mm-hmm. We got, they showed the Redemption 2-hour movie over the weekend. They repeated that. And then I think it comes back next week, I want to say.
I think that's right.
Can't wait.
Looks good this season. And here is what I have to offer you if you're a 24 fan. A special collector's set of seasons 1-6 of Fox's 24 on DVD. Along with the special Redemption movie, as I mentioned, was just re-aired over the weekend. And a Jack Bauer bomber jacket.
Yes.
All beautifully presented for your pleasure in a special 24 briefcase.
You can't just get this
is
anyway.
Insane.
Nuts. If you'd like to win this prize, I'm going to ask a little trivia question here, because I don't want to just give it away to caller 20 or whatever. I want someone to really...
know what they're talking about.
Know what they're talking about. Someone who really enjoys 24 to win this special grand prize. Here is... let's go back to season one, shall we? Give me the name of the Balkan warlord and mercenary responsible for the attempted assassination of Senator David Palmer in the first season. He was allegedly killed in Operation Nightfall.
He was on most of that episode, most of that season.
Yes, I need the name of that Balkan warlord and mercenary, the brains behind the attempt on Senator Palmer's life.
Omar Khan!
And the actor who played him. Give me the actor who played him, too.
Damn.
Do all those things. So it's a two-part answer. Call right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. If you get through with the correct answer, you're the first person through, you win this amazing prize from Fox's 24. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Marley and Me. Ah, the story of Ebenezer Scrooge and his longtime partner, Jacob Marley.
Nope. Nope. This is the
world's worst dog. That's what this movie's about.
He sure does knock things over, and then he's... takes some things and breaks some stuff.
But he doesn't chew stuff up, does he?
Oh, he does, Kevin!
Oh.
That's the thing!
Oh, no.
You just think he's done chewing because he chews this one thing up, and then they turn around and he's chewing a whole other thing!
No, he's not.
Oh, it's so good.
By the way, I don't think I've given anything away by suggesting that this story is of the entire dog's life, including how it ends. And my brother-in-law went to this movie, and apparently there were a bunch of families there who brought their little kids thinking it was a cute puppy movie.
Oh, good. Oh.
And didn't realize until the dog got sick and ended up in the hospital, didn't realize where it was headed, and apparently there was just a mad rush to the door about 10 minutes before the film ended when they realized what was going on.
Think less Beethoven, more Old Yeller.
Yes,
if you're planning on bringing the kids.
It's a tough lesson for the young ones to learn.
I was cheering at the end of it. Finally, that dog got what he deserved. Eating my floor tile. Breaking my screen windows. $24 million Marley and Me made. Just monster hits. Like the third week in a row it's been number one. It's just monster
well, it was a
hit.
Huge book, too.
Yeah. It was huge. It was like 4,000 pages.
I don't think that's what she
nuts. I couldn't get through
it. She means successful.
Most of that photographs.
Yeah.
Marley's autopsy.
Oh.
Do we have an answer already to my trivia question?
We do. We have David in Pasadena.
David?
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Big 24 fan?
Yes, I am. Been watching the show since it first came out.
All right. Then give me the name of that Balkan warlord I was talking about.
Victor Drazen.
Victor Drazen, indeed. Played by?
Dennis Hopper.
The legendary Dennis Hopper. You're absolutely right. Congratulations. You've won the special collector set from Fox. It's seasons 1-6 of Fox on DVD, the Redemption movie, and the Jack Bauer bomber jacket. Congratulations.
Awesome. You guys are awesome.
You have to take a picture of yourself in the bomber jacket and send it to us.
I will do, guys.
All right.
Holding a Glock and wearing sunglasses. They're talking like this. Get those people out of there.
And torturing someone.
That's right. Let's take a look at the rest of the movie, shall we? Bedtime Stories was number 2 at the box office, the Adam Sandler comedy. The Curious Case of Benjamin Button was 3. Valkyrie 4. Yes, Man. Number 5. 7 Pounds came in at number 6. The Tale of Despero was number 7, then Doubt, The Day the Earth Stood Still, and Slumdog Millionaire, rounding out the top 10 of the box office this weekend.
You know what I saw that was one of the best movies I've ever seen?
What?
Gran Torino.
Oh, I haven't
was
seen that
really
yet.
Good?
I'm dying to see that.
So good. That's the Clint Eastwood one.
Dying
so good.
To see Clint Eastwood get off my lawn.
So good.
Just for that scene alone, I want to see him just threatening young Asians with a shotgun.
That's your fantasy.
They're gay members.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, that's what you meant.
I meant threatening bad people with a shotgun. That's what I meant.
Right.
Ralph has a lot of rage from Charlie from back in the day when he served.
When I was smoking dope out of a skull?
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
That was not you.
Good times.
I don't think you were
Speaking
there.
Speaking of race relations, did you see, you probably don't care because you're not a Philadelphian, but it was a big deal in Philly this weekend. You know, they do this big parade every year in Philadelphia on New Year's Day called the Mummers Parade.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And do you remember Joey Vento?
Yes. Hell yes.
We talked to
He's
this guy.
He's the guy we talked to?
He runs a cheesesteak place in Philadelphia, a legendary cheesesteak place called Gino's Steaks.
That's
and
right.
He was in a bunch of trouble because he put a sign up where you order the cheesesteaks that said, when ordering, speak English.
Right.
And some of the immigrants, the people, the minorities in the neighborhood were furious with him because he was insisting that they order in English. Well, he had a float in the Mummers Day Parade this year.
Yes.
And his float consisted of him playing a Texan with a hat and like a fake rifle, and then they had a bunch of illegal immigrants behind the fence, and he was trying to fight them off to keep them behind the fence. And then in the skit, apparently they all burst through the fence and started running wild all over the U.S.
Oh.
And then he made them turn in their flags of their respective countries for an American flag
and had a message.
There was this whole sketch did in the parade.
I think we need to talk to him again.
A lot of people are very upset with good old Joey Vento, so maybe we need to talk to him again. He's hysterical. Have you heard about this rap that Travis McCoy has made about his breakup with Katy Perry? Apparently, they were dating for a while.
Right.
Over the New Year's holiday, they broke up. The story is they were vacationing in Mexico and things turned ugly. The London Sun tabloid says that he was seen leaving the resort where they were staying and she was yelling and begging him not to leave. And she was in tears, and her parents had to pull her away from him, and there was just a big nightmare, and they split up apparently just before New Year's Eve.
Good times.
So Travis McCoy goes on his blog and has written a rap about their breakup.
A rap?
Great. A rap.
Are you going to perform it now?
I'm not going to perform it because I'm no rapper.
You need a beat?
But
I can give you a beat.
I gotta quote you some of the lines that Travis has written about the breakup. And you may think that perhaps a career in rap is not where his musical future lies, just given.
Maybe an hour from now, we'll have Lisa May.
Oh,
that's a good idea.
Go.
We'll have her bring it up. Jeez, I'm running so late already. Just a couple quick lines, okay?
Okay.
We fight every night. Now that's not kosher. I reminisce with bliss of when we were closer.
Wow.
And wake up to be greeted by an argument again. You act like you're 10. So immature, I try to concentrate on a cure and keep looking at the front door.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's in the band
good.
Gym Class Heroes, right?
He is. Yes, he is.
Hmm.
Sometimes
he
I
should
wish,
be better.
Sometimes I wish you'd come down with lockjaw so I don't have to take in the breaking. You treat me like a burnt piece of bacon.
No way.
Yeah.
He's got bacon and kosher in there.
Wow.
It's long. It's about 2 pages long, and it is spectacular.
That's awesome.
He is really upset.
The Katy Perry vacation photos in Mexico, by the way. Her in a bikini. One of the best things I've ever seen on the internet in my life. She's amazing.
My friends always tell me how lucky I am to possess the best-looking girl in the whole U.S., but every time you scream, you blow your finesse.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
You don't blow your finesse.
Trying to diss the profess.
Oh.
Well, that is a sucker punch to the gonads.
Oh, Travis.
Wow.
Oh, Travis.
That's the best.
Oh, Travis.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthday is Robert Duvall is 78 years old today. Diane Keaton turns 63. Vinnie Jones turns 44. Marilyn Manson is 40. January Jones from Mad Men.
Wow.
That's the loudest bell we've ever had.
Bell without using my hands, too.
A little close to the mic.
31 years old, and Kristen Cavallari from Laguna Beach turns 22 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
John Aguilar from Los Angeles, thanks for listening. You just picked up a brand-new Burton snowboard from the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, we'll have another one for you at 11, then at 3, and then at 7. And then this afternoon, not only do you win a snowboard, but we're also giving away a trip to Telluride in Colorado, don't you know? That's going to be between 5 and 6 on Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde, if it doesn't get canceled between now and then. Ralph, who's your boyfriend?
One of the funniest men in show business. Star and creator of a very funny TV series over there on TBS, which debuts tomorrow night. And it's the third season coming on tomorrow night?
Yes, third season.
Items or Less is the name of the show.
Yes.
This is a fictional TV show.
It is not fictional.
Ralph tells us he's on. So we say, oh, yeah, you're on, Ralph. Oh, yeah.
It's on right after Brothers and Sisters. Sure. Come on, tell us the truth,
Please
Ralph.
Welcome John Lair, everyone.
Thank you. Good to be here.
John, you're the first person we've ever met in show business who has rehired Ralph to appear on the program.
Yes, how dare you, sir.
Congratulations for that.
Thank you. We want to be the first. And, you know, he's in two episodes this year.
I have two episodes this year.
Wow.
Season.
Two. Yeah. He's in the episode tomorrow night.
That's just a little tease, though.
Yeah, that's just a little intro. It's a little appetizer.
It's a little cameo appearance, a little special addition to
Not
the episode.
That every single person listening doesn't know your show by heart. But let's say if that were the case. Maybe you could catch them up on what 10 Items or Less is.
It's a sitcom in a grocery store. That's basically it. I mean, the two most interesting things about it is, number one, it's all improvised. There's no lines at all, as Ralph.
And that's
would
to
have.
Save money, right? That's
yes,
why
is.
You do that.
Yes, it is.
So much
it,
easier. We don't have to hire writers.
Writers get in the way.
Yeah, they do. With
as you guys
ideas
well know,
and their words. No, it's an experiment. It was an experiment initially, right?
Yeah,
John?
Yeah.
To see if funny people could just be funny, and
that's
you
right.
tell a story without having to write it down. First.
Yeah, yeah. I
now,
mean,
Ralph, your character is.
I play Charles Cliphouse.
Charles Cliphouse.
Yes, who is sort of
evil,
the evil genius from the competing Walmart-esque sort of super value mart that is trying to take down John's little mom-and-pop grocery store. We're trying to swallow them up.
We can always tell when Ralph's shooting this because he grows the facial hair of evil.
Yeah. I grow evil facial hair.
The executives over at TBS thought Ralph and I look too much alike.
Yeah.
As you can see, we're almost
twins.
You guys are twins, yeah. Just the craziest thing.
Well, they both have brown hair. Have one of them grow a goatee. Because people might mistake them.
He's like the evil Kirk, you know, on the Star Trek.
Right. The alternate universe.
Yeah. You have to wear the pirate sash. And
is this the
I should wear an eye patch, too, next time I
yes.
do the show.
Is this the only show that has no script besides reality TV?
Reno 911, I believe.
Right. Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Famously, of course.
Yes.
Does,
oh, sure, yes, it does. And then Us.
And
I
that's
think
it.
That's it, yeah.
So how does it work? I've seen improv on stage before, but on the TV show, not that I haven't watched every episode, John.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Do you have benchmarks along the way of you know you need to get at some point from this point to this point? Do you have at least that much, framework
we
of a
do.
Script?
Like, my partner Nancy Hauer and I both write all the scripts, quote unquote, which are basically just like really detailed storylines. And
right.
then we just kind of guide the actors there. But the actors, as Ralph will attest, never see the script.
No.
They don't know what the episode's about. They just show up. It's the easiest gig ever. Well, maybe after this one.
Yeah.
But, it's not quite as easy as this. But you know, you show up on the set and they say, okay, here's what needs to happen. You need to convince this person to do this, basically.
And that's all. They don't give
Go.
You...
Yeah.
And they keep shooting and shooting and shooting until they think they have little bits and pieces of everything they need. And the real work is done in the editing room when they take this massive amount of footage and have to kind of chip it and narrow it down to
I would
you
be
know,
so nervous. Can
show.
You imagine me on that program?
Just having to come up with words on your own. It makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. And everyone else is like standing around waiting. The camera's rolling.
That might not be your milieu.
Man, that would be bad.
Well, right now we're cutting Ralph's episode, so I've been staring at his face for like
cutting it meaning week. Taking it out?
Yeah, no, no.
Editing it together.
Just keeping the gold. Keeping the gold.
Later on this season, John and I do an episode where he has come up with a genius idea of doing an album solely of whistling.
Oh, good.
He whistles the hits, basically.
Excellent. Mm.
And
that went over well for us.
And John and I go on a QVC-type home shopping network TV show to try to sell copies of this.
That's great. It is. I got to say, Ralph delivers big time in that episode.
Stop.
You're going to be very happy. You're going to be very happy.
Here's a clip for 10 Items or Less so you can kind of get a feel for it.
I got to tell you, Carl, I'm so depressed I don't even want to get dressed anymore. You know? It's all pointless. I got nothing, Carl.
Zero.
Nothing. I've got nobody.
Like nothing. No family, no wife, no
kids, no friends, no hobbies, no
okay.
outside
okay.
interests.
Yeah, nothing. I get it.
I just didn't know if it had really sunk in.
Bob is so funny.
10 yeah. Items or Less is on Tuesday night, tomorrow night at 11 o'clock on TBS, and every Tuesday night.
That's right.
Now, we need to take a break, but when we come back, you have to tell us why you would have possibly done it. When did you do this? When did you
Let's see.
Go
this
under
was
the
about
knife.
6 years ago.
6 years
six
ago?
6 years ago. I had a needle...
Okay.
Poked into my
all right.
All right. Well,
penis.
We'll say this. He had
okay.
a procedure done.
That's yes. a tease. I'm giving him a tease.
Exactly. That's correct. Yes.
Well, I actually gave it all away.
Yeah,
I?
You did.
Yeah,
okay.
So I don't even need to come
all
back.
Right.
Ralph Garman tells us that he is an actor.
I don't just tell you that. I actually am an actor from time to time.
He tells us there's a show called 10 Items or Less.
There is indeed that show.
In his rich fantasy life world.
Yeah. He is entering its third season tomorrow night on TBS at 11 o'clock.
And Ralph says he's on it.
Mm-hmm. Twice.
Twice this season.
Two times.
You can get a little taste of me tomorrow night.
Yes.
Ladies.
No one wants that.
And then later on in the season, I guest star for an entire episode. The plot pretty much revolves around me and me.
Yes.
And
it,
me.
It does.
Wow.
It does. And it's ripe for a spinoff.
That's
really?
What I'm saying. Yeah.
Ripe.
I think.
Spinoff.
Clip House's house or something.
That other voice is actor... John Lehrer from the TV show 10 Items or Less. I think we've been able to, during the Nirvana song, we found a clip with Ralph in it from tomorrow night's show. Is that what we have today?
It exists.
Get ready for gold.
I think this is where you're talking about this, like dueling managers. Maybe we could coexist. And I'm not, it sounds like you're talking about someone
season.
Else.
This must be from last
Probably.
Season.
Could be, yeah.
Or maybe this is the season with Kim Coles, one of the new stars of the show.
You sound like you're
introducing
pumping,
her?
Yes, but
yeah.
making
this
her
is
sound
from
great.
Tomorrow night's
oh,
show, then.
Yeah,
this is me introducing Kim Coles. Who, of course, you may remember from In Living Color and Living Single mm-hmm. and other shows
yeah.
living in the title.
Sure.
She is one of the new stars of the show. She joins the cast this season.
But I thought you were the manager.
I have moved on to another position.
He's been
with
promoted.
The company. I've been
we're,
promoted.
We're setting it up to.
I
he's
see.
The one who hosts the QVC type program
oh.
later.
Yeah.
So we're setting that. We're teeing it all off. There's very intricate setting up a season for
it's
a
like
TV
24.
Show.
It's pretty complex.
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
We probably won't get
so
it. But
I am introducing Kim's character, Mercedes Jones, to John's character.
You know, we've had a lot of tension, you know, between the two stores. And since you're coming in brand new, you know, let's bury the hatchet. And I just love to see the two stores coexist.
Yeah, I don't think that's really in the cards, Poole.
Why don't you get a load of this one?
Fastest rising manager in the company's history. The only thing she retires more than batter's pool is the competition. That's why she's known as the Velvet Hammer.
Put it down, but real soft.
Yeah.
That's after our big stickball tournament.
That's right. Playing. Yeah. You guys...
None of this has happened.
We're being punked. Seriously. Ashton Kutcher is in the other room.
Wait till you see me in my pink softball uniform tomorrow night. That's worth the price of admission alone.
God. Yes. With the extra tight softball pants.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, John, when you came in, 10 Items or Less, Tuesdays, 11 on TBS. When
yes.
you came in, you started talking about how you converted to Judaism.
I Jewed up. Yeah, I'm fully Jewed.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, I have a lot of friends who are Jewish, and I've been to Briss's before, and that is a...
That's hardcore.
Yeah, that's where they hardcore. Give the kid a circumcision, but mm-hmm. they do it like at a party at someone's house. They have somebody come over, and they celebrate. And
everyone has a good time, but the
kids... They take the foreskin and toss it around like a hot potato.
They all, like, watch.
They put names in a hat, right? If you win, you get to do the Briss.
I never understood that. I just think that was so... It's such an odd custom.
Well, you got two forks in the road. You either get depressed about cutting his penis off, or you have a fantastic party!
I guess, but
that's 3,000 years.
Some things could be done, you know,
privately
in a hospital, yeah,
for the poor little kid. But anyway, so you converted to Judaism because you found a hot chick that would marry you,
hot Jewish chick. Yes, that's true.
Okay.
Although, and you know, when you convert, they don't want you. They basically don't want.
They make it hard for
they
you.
No,
to
you got
to
run. You know, you gotta run an obstacle course.
I did not know
through
that.
A spanking machine. Yeah.
Do they not?
A bunch of rabbis trying to spank you. Chase a grease pig. And then wash your hands, because that's trick.
Can't eat it if you catch it.
That's right.
Why do you think that is? Why do they make it so difficult?
They don't want people.
They're not
like the Christians. They're not out yapping and going and knocking on doors and stuff.
Not a big tent? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well,
there's been a history of people not liking them around so much.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
You know.
So what did you have to do when you converted?
Well, I had to take a class, a six-month class, which is basically, it was like getting my master's. I mean, I'm taking a lot of classes.
Six months?
You can learn to fly an airplane in 6 months.
Exactly. And it's like, you know, you, like 200 pages. Of, I mean, it was serious class.
Okay.
Then, after you get done with that, you have to get circumcised. Now,
well,
I'm
there's
already
the carrot at the end of the stick.
Yes.
No pun intended.
That's right.
Circumcision and that bris and that party and all that stuff usually happens when a kid is a week old.
Too young to remember.
Under 8 days, yes.
Under 8 days.
Yes.
Okay.
And I've already been circumcised, as you can see on many of the websites on
of course.
On the, as you guys have all seen.
Well, those 10 items are less porn sites that are so proliferated.
So you were were circumcised, and you had to get circumcised again?
Re-circumcised.
As an adult?
I'm going to tell you. I found myself
in a bathroom. Did they have a party?
No, this is it. I was in a bathroom in a Moyle's house in the valley with my penis sitting on the counter of his bathroom.
Now, a Moyle is the Jewish guy that does the procedure.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're like Christians a party. Don't do it right.
It's like a party.
And I'm that's like, what asking, this is. What, is this part of it? And he's saying the Shekianu with it in his mouth.
So, how do you get re-circumcised if you've already been circumcised?
Yes,
it would seem like they don't have the necessary materials to work with for that procedure.
All it required, they didn't say the proper blessings. It's all about the blessings. So they had to prick my shaft and get a drop of blood and then say these three blessings. Now, the first time he pricked it, no blood. Had to do it again. Again.
Because it's dead? Is that what you're saying? It's dead down
there? Well, yeah. I mean,
no blood down
there. No blood?
Yeah. Like, I'm married with two kids. I'm done. so then as he's preparing it, he says, hey, what do you do for a living? And I never say this because you say you're an actor and everybody asks, what have you done?
Course.
And it's a nightmare.
And then you have to make up that
show.
Then,
yeah. Right. And I said it because I was in a vulnerable position. I wasn't thinking. I'm an actor. And he goes, really? You know, my son's a director.
Oh,
you should bring me your headshot.
Oh, no.
And I'll get you an audition. I'm like, dude, only in L.A.
Finish
only in L.A.
and let's move on.
Let me pull my pants up.
Wow.
Before you start pitching
but it
me.
Turned
did
out
he make you promise before he did it?
Well, it turned out that I did know his son.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I did know the project. I had gone in on the project,
sure.
And I had blown the audition, and his father, my Moyle, got me back. Got me a call back.
Wow.
That's the Jewish mafia, my friends.
Wow. How about that?
The Jews really
do run
Hollywood.
Yeah.
And then I blew it again and didn't get the part. But that's, you know.
But you
then I ended
chance.
Up working with Ralph.
Why?
See, it all worked out.
But why do they make you? Wow, that's bad.
Yes, it is. It is. It is.
She must be hot, your wife. I mean, that really, at that point, didn't you think, hot enough for this? I'm not sure.
Well, I'm thinking then, how do I get out of there? But when your pants are down around your ankles and your penis is on a bathroom sink. I don't know. I didn't know what to do.
Tell me about it. Can't tell you how many times I've been in that situation.
You run. You go, not
you
worth
can't.
It.
You can't. Your pants are on your ankles.
Oh, I don't know.
Start doing the penguin. That doesn't work for anyone.
I think they were having you on. I think they went home, and the Moyle went home and said, you'll never believe what I got
back
to do
today. I got the
today.
Guy to do it.
You know that dude from 10 Items of Life?
That is true.
That had better be an upcoming episode of 10 Items of Less.
You know, that's
gotta figure out
a
way to work that
in. We should do a circumcision episode. That's a fantastic idea.
That is not good.
That you heard it on KROQ.
Wow. Yeah. We've already got a butcher who works in the meat department.
That's right.
Right?
We can slice and dice it.
I like it.
Yep, the more cutting, the better.
Let's have it be Ralph's character. By the way, while we're at it. 10 Items or Less, tomorrow night, Tuesday nights at 11 on TBS. And John Lehrer has been our guest again. Thanks for coming
Thank
in,
you
man.
Guys very much.
And thanks for sharing about your
my penis.
Your junk.
Yes.
The party is far from over. There's a lot far to go. It's been a great night here in Times Square.
Right.
You're happy to spend your New Year's Eve with us.
Thank you, Dick Clark. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's Monday morning, the 5th of January. How about our old friend Matt Money Smith, ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the phone. Happy New Year to you, Money.
Happy New Year to you, too.
No.
Thanks, Money Clark.
So who would have thought, by the way, when we got back from vacation, that Kevin's Arizona Cardinals would still be in the hunt toward the Super Bowl, and that Ralph's Eagles would still be there, but there'd be no sign of Dave's Falcons. Of course, my Seahawks have been dead for 6 months. Mike's Dallas Cowboys, they're out. What crazy NFL playoffs do we have going on here?
And no Bears. No Chicago Bears.
No Bears. The Bears. I'd like to think, Ralph, that the Bears were kind enough to give the Eagles an assist.
They were. They were.
Playoff
we appreciated that loss. Thank you, sir.
Laid down in Houston. Nothing like letting the Texans hang 31 points on you so the Eagles can go to the playoffs.
Wow.
Money, does it end next weekend for the Philadelphia dream season against the Giants, though?
No, I don't think so at all. I think there is one thing that Eli Manning cannot do very well with, and that's a lot of pressure. And when they beat the Cowboys and we went through that the miraculous run they did to win the Super Bowl, he was kind of cruised in the pocket and was untouched. And I don't, you know, it was the Giants' offensive line that really was the MVP of that particular run, allowing Eli Manning to make those particular plays.
And they can't do that to the Eagles?
Well, you know, the Eagles, just historically, when you talk about Jim Johnson, he's their defensive coordinator. I mean, he looks like he's 600 years old. He's father time standing on the sidelines.
Right.
He's been doing it for so long. But they have talent. He's the best defensive coordinator in the league. He and Rex Ryan, the guy from Baltimore. And he's going to make life tough, very tough on Eli Manning. And that leads me to say that the Eagles definitely have a chance. Now, problem is, you know, Donovan McNabb and the Eagles have to deal with the same kind of pressure from the Giants' defense.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're going to have a walk in the park because their defense is taking care of them.
But it seems like McNabb is probably better at scrambling, getting away, running if he needs to, that kind of stuff, because he's tall and strong, and I want to date him, apparently.
Yeah.
I
don't know if it sounds like it.
You know what? When McNabb talks, doesn't just the tone in his voice, doesn't he sound like he's got a sweaty upper lip? I don't know why.
What are you talking about?
How can you hear a sweaty upper lip?
the way he works his mouth and the tone, he just sounds like one of those fat dudes that you can't help but hear anything that comes out of his mouth. You can't hear anything that's coming out of his mouth because you're like, damn, is that a sweaty upper lip?
I don't have any idea what you're talking about, and yet I'm glad that you feel strong.
Save that for your show, Mark. Sweaty upper lip stick.
Yeah, keep that on AM where it belongs.
McNabb. He is a great quarterback when he's healthy, and I'd say for the last 3 or 4 years, he has had issues and has sat out one game, two games, you know, sometimes 5 games for various reasons. This season, he was healthy. He played all 16, of course, the one famous benching for a half that didn't work out so well, thankfully, for Kevin Cobb and the Eagles, but he's one of the best in the league and historically has been. So when you have good quarterback play, and you have a great defense, you can do pretty great things in the playoffs. They always say, oh, defense, run the ball. But historically, when you look at Super Bowl winners, with the exception of Trent Dilfer and the Baltimore Ravens, throw that out, quarterback play is much more important in the playoffs.
Right.
Than being able to run the ball.
Yeah. I had Ralph put $20 on the Arizona Cardinals to win the Super Bowl.
At the beginning of the season.
Before the season started. He was going, and I was just like, well, the odds are pretty long. I'll just give you $20. Do they have a chance?
Sure, they're in the playoffs.
I know they're in the playoffs, but do they have a chance?
Carolina's tough. Carolina's a tough team.
Carolina's got two running backs, one of them with just a giant ass that can clear space. That come the fourth quarter, Jonathan Stewart just punishes teams.
I got you.
And that's how they win football games.
When he talks, he sounds like he has a sweaty upper ass to me.
Does it? Yeah, I've never heard of that. Yeah.
Actually, yeah, he does. Jonathan Stewart has great swamp ass, as a matter of fact. And that's big in the fourth quarter.
Sure. Money, let's talk about swamp ass. That's a good band name. Let's change directions and talk about the Lakers, shall we?
Wow, that really changes.
Lakers.
Okay. Hold up for sport.
The Lakers.
Okay.
How are they doing?
That's it. That's just...
Well, they have the best record in the NBA now. You know, the Celtics... and last night after the game, I said this. You know, when the Lakers lost those two games, back-to-back, their first losing streak of the season to Miami and Orlando, people were freaking out. It was the end of the Lakers universe as we knew it.
And that was both last-second shots, right?
Yes. Kobe had one rattle out, and Sasha had one rattle out.
Right.
And for that matter, you know, their loss to Indiana was a Troy Murphy last-second shot. So,
and people were saying that the universe was ending for them, really?
Yeah. But because they desperately feel like the Lakers have to have the best record in the NBA because of the way the finals works schedule-wise. You know, the two games and then three at the lower-seeded team in the middle and then two more.
At home, so you get to play four at home, and they're the first two and the last two.
Yeah, but it's just weird they don't do the 2-2-1-1-1.
Right.
You know, it's that giant three-game. When you have two very good basketball teams, it's going to be hard to beat someone 3 games in a row, which really even makes it even more of a disadvantage
for
the team that has that middle 3 games. So the point being, you know, the Celtics had 2 losses at the time, the Lakers had 5, and people said there's no possible way they're going to catch the Celtics now as well as they're playing. Well, you know, now the Celtics are struggling, like every single team typically does over the course of an 82-game season. And the Lakers, after their victory against the Blazers last night, have a sweaty upper lip.
And, I don't think so. Can a team have a sweaty upper lip?
That's what it sounds like when they talk.
Huh, that's weird.
Yeah. I mean, they have the best record in the league, and now they're the ones that are being chased by the Celtics and the Cavaliers. So they're in good shape. They're dealing with injuries. Luke has freaking webbed feet. How about that injury report?
What does webbed feet mean exactly? I mean,
well,
really webbed?
I can't pronounce the medical term for it, but apparently his big toe has attached to a part of his foot. And he's getting it checked out today, and that's why he sat out last night's game. And I said, so is it like webbed feet? And instead of like, no, it's not like webbed feet, I got, yeah, pretty much it's like webbed feet.
What the hell's going on with him? Is he turning into a mermaid?
How does that happen? You would think either you have webbed feet or you don't. I don't think you accidentally grow a webbed foot.
Hey, have you ever seen the way Bill Walton has started to walk around in older age?
Yeah.
I think it is in his DNA.
That's true.
He's part duck.
All right. Well, Money, thanks as always. Hope you had a great holiday season.
If you take nothing else away from this conversation.
Sweaty upper lip.
Sweaty upper lip. Yeah, sounds like he has a sweaty upper lip.
All right. Thank you, Money.
Good luck, Ralph, to those Eagles.
I appreciate it, Mon. I would have been a
quarterback watching you would ever know. I would never know.
What?
I think is what he says.
That works for me.
That's Modest Mouse.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock 106.7 KRQ. I'm sorry, Kevin and Bean 09. Don't forget Cinco de la Tarde this afternoon between 5 and 6. We're giving away not only a brand new Burton snowboard, but a trip to Telluride, Colorado. How about that? An all-inclusive trip for two to Telluride with 3 nights hotel, airfare, lift tickets, and more. You can discover Telluride in southwest Colorado with the ease of direct flights from LAX on United. And we'll have that between 5 and 6 this afternoon. Hey, Ralph Garman. How are you, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Good to see you.
Good.
Missed you over the holidays.
I didn't miss you even a little bit.
Really?
Nope. I barely remembered you people till this morning.
Yeah.
I said, I missed these people. I forgot
about
them.
Quite a few of you this holiday season. It was a longer holiday vacation than usual for us this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I really kind
of
missed you guys.
Some of us, yeah.
I just want you to know.
Some of us were working when you guys were on the slopes or whatever the hell you were doing.
We were on the slopes in France together.
Yeah. That's what we were doing.
You guys holding hands while we skied.
Together,
holding hands and skiing.
Yeah.
Sure. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Top 10 movies at the box office over this weekend. Marley and Me, still the number one movie at the box office, made 24 additional million dollars this week.
I didn't know Marley Matlin was that big of a draw.
Yeah.
That's what I'm confused about.
Everyone loves her, especially when she eats tile for some reason. Bedtime Stories was number two. The Curious Case of Benjamin Button was number three. Valkyrie came in at number four. Then Yes Man, 7 Pounds, The Tale of Despero. Doubt, The Day the Earth Stood Still, and at number 10, Slumdog Millionaire, rounding out the top movies at the box office this weekend. Looks like the Minnesota race for Senate is finally over, and comedian actor Al Franken is apparently going to be the new senator from Minnesota.
That was still going on?
They were still recounting all this
It still
time.
Hasn't been certified yet, Kevin. Literally, it's still going on, yeah.
They say that he apparently leads the election by 225 votes at this point.
Wow.
And apparently a week has to go by, and if no one contests the election or sues, then it will become official. If not, then they have to go through a whole other process of trying to certify it. So it's
been
not
quite
official
a soap
yet.
Opera.
But Al Franken may soon be the senator for Minnesota.
Not a good talker, that guy.
I don't know anything about Coleman, the other guy in the race.
He makes a good lantern.
That's true.
I would be pissed if I lost an election to Al Franken. I really would. I just would not feel good about myself.
Because they voted for me, Al Franken.
Right.
I don't get to do my Al Franken impression very often, so I'm milking it.
He used to be a comedian, for those of you who don't
recognize. He was on Saturday Night Live for many years, a writer and performer on Saturday Night Live for years, and then did a bunch of stuff with Bill Maher and The Daily Show. He's been around for a long, long time. Very funny guy. I don't know how he'd be as a senator, but look, it's Minnesota. They had a wrestler as their governor. They couldn't do any worse, right?
True.
Make New Year's resolutions, anybody? You believe in that crap?
The usual, eat more, watch more TV, sleep more.
Sure.
Usual.
Yeah.
The easy ones.
Better organized, be on time.
Yeah, that's good. No, seriously, what'd you decide? George Clooney's made some.
Yeah, more women?
To be more Clooney. Apparently, these are his resolutions. He'd like to settle into a serious exercise regime. He says he doesn't work out enough.
Yeah, he's a fat pig.
Because physical activity helps him deal with the things that are on his nerves, he claims. Like deciding which supermodel to bang. Yeah, that must be grating.
That is tough. Ow.
And also, he decided to, he's going to cheat more at cards this coming year because he likes to win. So one of his resolutions is to cheat more at cards, which I think is an excellent
idea. That's certainly something that he could do.
Excellent idea.
He's given fair warning to the people he plays with.
And what celebrities do you think would make the best hookers?
Celebrities' best
Lindsay
hookers.
Lohan.
Yeah.
Yeah. They asked Kristen Davis, not the actress Kristen Davis, but the Hollywood, the Manhattan, rather, madam, who ran the stable of hookers that was implicated during the Governor Elliot Spitzer scandal in New York State. She served 3 months in jail over that, but now she's out and she's publishing a book about being a whore in Manhattan, The True Tales of a Manhattan Madam. And during an interview, they asked her what celebrities would do best in terms of making money as a hooker. Here's what she had to say. Katie Holmes.
She's a whore, okay?
Would do very well for herself, according to the madam, because of her girl-next-door looks. Apparently, that's a high premium with the guys who frequent the hookers. They like a wholesome, innocent-looking girl. She could get $2,500 to $3,000 an hour, speculates the madam.
Dude, I bet Tom Cruise is paying her that much.
Angelina Jolie, she said, would be her number one earner.
You look like a whore.
I would put her at $2,000 an hour, but you could only book her for 4 hours at a time,
wow,
says the madam. She also said Britney Spears, Paris Hilton, and Melania Trump could make me big money.
Oh, no. She's a whore.
However, she says Alaska Governor Sarah Palin would not do well as a whore.
Really?
Yes.
Really? That's her take?
She's cute, but not for my kind of client. She could work for a cheaper agency, maybe $300 an hour type agency, she claims
that's
about.
Cheap?
Yeah, that's cheap.
I think she's got that whole librarian thing where
she does
kind of buttoned up during the day, but could be crazy at night.
Yeah, tell me about
it. But she's too annoying, though. She talks too much.
She does talk. That's true.
Okay, I think you should take your pants off now.
I'm out right there. You're right.
Saying, here's your money. Just shut up.
You're right.
And she's Grandma Palin now, too, by the way. Don't forget.
She's a gilf.
Yep, she's a gilf.
Nice. Today's celebrity birthdays, Robert Duvall is 78 years old today. Diane Keaton turns 63. Vinnie Jones is 44. Marilyn Manson turns 40. January Jones from Mad Men is 31 years old today. And Kristen Cavallari from Laguna Beach is 22 years old today. Do we have her being being spectacular? Do we have her being...
You mean only the best thing that's ever been on television in the history of the media ever?
Give me a little taste.
If you and Steven had babies, they'd be so good looking. They would.
Because Steven's all tan.
Yeah.
See, because he's tan, and that would translate right to the baby.
I love tan babies.
It's spectacular.
I'm Ralph Garman. I welcome the show.
And now, a moment with Ralph.
It'd be great to have Air Supply gunning down the lead singer of some other band.
That was a moment with Ralph.
That was a good time. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin and Bean 09, 810 on 106.7 FM. Let's talk about holiday disasters for a moment, which we always enjoy doing when we come back after the Christmas New Year's break, because inevitably there are people who anticipate having a great time over the holidays, and then for whatever reason it doesn't work out for them.
It's almost always family. It's almost always,
yes,
you know, a drunk uncle or some, or you know, a cousin or somebody, and they drink too much and it just gets ugly, and what you expected to be a fantastic time is actually just the opposite of that.
Your ex-husband shows up in a Santa suit and shoots up the room and sets the place on fire. I mean, stuff like that. There's, you know what I'm talking about. But we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. One guy who did not have a great New Year's Eve, for instance, to start off the holiday disaster, is Anderson Cooper on CNN. Now, I know he's the big star on CNN, and I like him very much. I think he does a good job. But do you think he's happy with being paired with Kathy Griffin on New Year's Eve, or do you think it's something that he just puts up with because the boss is telling him he has to?
No, I would think he would be thrilled because it's somebody funny that he could actually work with.
That's true.
Kathy, as you know, is a little bit of a loose cannon, and here's a piece of tape you may not have heard yet on New Year's Eve of her responding to a heckler as they're getting ready to go into a commercial on CNN. I got this off the website. This did not air, by the way, on the West Coast, I guess. They somehow managed to edit it out, but check it out.
We'll take a short break. I'll go to Bourbon
Shut
Street.
Shut up! You know what? Screw you! I'm working!
I'll be right back.
Why don't you get a job, buddy? You know what? I don't go to your job and knock the out of your mouth.
Yes.
Wow.
Nice.
That was on CNN right there.
Christmas holiday disasters or New Year's holiday disasters. I don't know if you saw the story of the dude that was watching a movie on Christmas Day The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there was a family, a guy and his son, and they were talking a lot. The guy said, stop talking, stop talking. They wouldn't. You know how that goes. So the guy
said,
up.
This movie's really boring, and the son said, I know, it's the same scene 80 times in a row.
So the guy got up and pulled a 38 caliber handgun, which he had in his pants, and shot the father in the arm.
Okay. First of all, who goes to that movie with a gun?
That
the
guy
that carries a gun does not go to that movie. There's something wrong with this whole story.
Look at his photo of
that
his
guy,
arrest.
That yeah, guy. Look at that guy. He would never go to that movie. He must have walked into the wrong movie.
He must have been miserable sitting there at that movie.
Yeah.
This might answer your question, Lisa. It took place in Philadelphia, where most citizens are armed.
Oh, okay.
That's true.
That makes sense.
It's a necessity. So
wow.
He's sitting there.
I sure understand his motivation. I will say that.
I do too.
But extreme.
I don't know that that frustration should turn into aggravated assault, attempted murder, and a weapons violation.
Probably not.
That seems like it would have some long-lasting effects.
Yes.
Apparently, the family was talking, and the guy asked him to shut up, and they didn't. And then the guy started throwing popcorn at the kid to try to get the kid to shut up, and they kept on talking. And that's when the guy stood up and walked over, and then the man, the father of the boy, stood up in between him and the boy to protect his son, and the guy pulled out a gun and shot him in the arm.
Wow.
Apparently, that's how the whole thing went down. And he never even saw how the movie ended, and I hear Brad Pitt just keeps getting younger.
Yeah. Yeah. If that movie was less boring, they wouldn't talk so much. That's the problem. They were in a boring movie.
But this is a perfect example. For instance, we'd love to hear, we can't because they're in Philadelphia, but that's the kind of call that we're looking for. Is that guy took his son to the movies on Christmas Day. Did he have any idea that there was an expectation that he was going to get shot before the day was over?
End up in the emergency room shot. Although, if he could take anything away from that, it's don't talk at the goddamn movies.
Well, that's a good point.
All right, we'll take your calls. 1-800-520-1067. Holiday disasters. Actually, we need to take a quick break, and then we'll take those
you're
calls.
A bad person.
When we get back on.
Let us jump right into, by the way, coming up about 15 minutes, we'll tell you the greatest arrest story, certainly of 2008, maybe of all time. A celebrity arrested for reasons that I can't wait to explain. Coming up just after 8:30 this morning. First, though, we're talking about holiday disasters. You went into Christmas or you went into New Year's Eve and you thought, man, this is going to be the time of my life. I can't wait for the holidays. Boy, it didn't turn out the way you thought it would, though.
Let's begin with Brandy, who's calling us from Cyprus. Good morning, Brandy.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Good.
What happened to make it a disaster? Which day was it?
Well, we
Christmas?
Gave a 2-week notice to my mom that we were going to be moving out, my sister and I, because we couldn't. All year we've been dealing with my dad's death. So she decided she's had a boyfriend for 9 months. That's a complete drunk. Doesn't have a job. Owes tons of child support, and we've been trying to stick by her side the whole time. Well, she decided that she was just going to pretty much kick us out before Christmas if she could spend Christmas with him. And we've been with her all year, helping her out,
right,
being with her to cope through this whole,
right,
issue that we've been going through. Exactly. So the horrible part about it was my sister's birthday was on Christmas. So luckily the landlord let us in on Christmas, but we didn't have any water, no electricity, no gas. But we were able to finally get in here. We moved in at about 12:30 a.m. in the morning on Christmas Day.
You got your mom kicked you out of your house on Christmas Day?
On Christmas Eve, evening.
Not even knowing if you would have a place to go.
Well, she knew that we were planning on moving out, and we wanted to give her some time. We didn't want to just up and leave.
Right, sure.
So we told her 2 weeks in advance, and it was like telling a boss, hey, we're leaving in 2 weeks, and they let you go faster.
Sure, yeah.
But we didn't expect it from our own mother.
On Christmas Day.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I wished her a Merry Christmas on that day anyways, no matter what happened. And who answers the phone? Her drunk boyfriend.
Yeah, great.
Come back. Come back over, Brandy. You're kind of hot.
Thank you for the call. I've talked to her on the phone for 1 minute. I would have kicked her out. But, all right, let's try Diane in Rancho Cucamonga. She is on line 4. Hey, Diane, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show 09. What's your holiday disaster?
My husband was riding on a skateboard and fell off, dislocated his elbow, and had to have surgery and have it replaced with a titanium elbow.
Oh,
dude.
Nice.
Man, was it one of those breaks where it went the wrong way?
No, it just kind of dangled.
Oh,
and
okay.
He's so cheap, he didn't want anybody to call 911 to get an ambulance, so I had to drive him there myself.
Mm-hmm.
To because he didn't want to pay for the ambulance and all that stuff.
I don't think they charge you, do they?
I don't think so.
They do in a lot of towns now.
Really? Wow.
Hey, they're broke. They're broke. Yeah, it's expensive to operate that stuff.
Yeah, well, and it was our daughter's six-month-old daughter's first Christmas.
Yeah,
so
great.
She spent her first Christmas in the waiting room of the hospital. It was lots of fun.
Sure.
Wow.
Good times.
Looking around on Christmas Day, people in the emergency room, that's good times right there.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. All the doctors, 35 years old, the doctors kept asking him, what are you doing on a skateboard?
What are you talking about? Like, he's not supposed to ride a skateboard?
Yeah, well,
he's not good at it,
Well, apparently
Kevin.
He's not good at it. Yeah. Thank you for the call.
By the way, no one-year-old in the history of the world ever has remembered their first Christmas anyway, so don't worry about your kids.
True.
Let's go to Jen in Cyprus. A couple of these calls are from Cyprus. Hi, Jen.
Hi. Good morning. How are you?
We are good. Christmas, New Year's, which one was a disaster?
Okay, so this is venting, so this is great that you guys had this morning.
What happened?
Christmas Day, my sister gets in a car accident from just rainy roads, and she kind of went into a ditch. So I ended up.
And she's a girl.
She's a younger girl. I ended up sitting in the emergency room with her for 4 to 5 hours. And this is in San Diego. Mm-hmm. And then, so I'm like, okay, wow, that was a horrible Christmas. Didn't know it was about to get worse. So I drive home or whatever, and I've been with this boyfriend for about like a year and a half, a little over a year and a half.
Yeah.
Walk in on him having sex with another woman.
Yeah. Yay! He wasn't expecting you to come home at that moment, was he?
Yeah. So I grew wings, like I was drinking Red Bull or something, and flew on top of this naked woman and just drug her off the bed and totally lost it.
Yeah. Tell us more.
Running. Nobody can find him because he takes off running like a pansy. And he is still trying to convince me that she was going to rape him.
Right. Sure. Wait, who is the rapper that tried to convince people of that? Who was the rapper? There was some rapper that said he...
There sure was. It was...
DMX or somebody like that was claiming that he'd been raped.
Yeah, I do remember
he'd been raped
that.
By a woman,
by a woman.
That's fantastic. You know, I always wonder what will happen in that situation when you walk in during the partner's sex. And in this case, some people just turn and walk away. Some people just yell and wait for the person to leave. She attacked the girl, which is awesome.
Right?
No. Well, I'd like to think so.
All right, let's go to Rachel in Aliso Viejo. Good morning, Rachel.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Good.
Very good, thank you. Which holiday was a disaster? Was it Christmas or New Year's?
Oh, it was Christmas for sure.
All right.
So, my dad's birthday's Christmas Eve, and so I did like a combo gift for him, and I got him a new laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my boyfriend come over for Christmas, too, because his family lives out of state, and my mom is nice, and she was like, we'll cook for you, whatever. So he comes over, too, and my parents gave him presents and everything, too, and it was like a nice little family thing. So my dad's playing with his new computer, and he starts Googling all of our names. And so he, like, oh, what's your last name, right? And he's Googling my boyfriend's name. And he finds out that my boyfriend is a registered sex offender.
Wow! A registered sex offender, and you found this out on Christmas Day?
I had no idea. And so then when I, like, interrogated him about it, and I was like, what the hell is this? It ended up that he had been, like, on, like, To Catch a Predator.
Oh, my God.
I know. So I was like, well, this relationship was clearly over because you're a child molester. So.
You were dating a To Catch a Predator dude.
Yeah.
And you're 15 and he's 38?
Wow.
I, like, took a shower and scrubbed myself with a pumice stone for 5 hours.
Wow.
That's why you Google the guy, ladies.
You should do that ahead
you
of time.
You should always Google the guy.
If you haven't Googled the guy, don't do it on Christmas Day.
True.
That's not the kind of thing you want to find out.
Wow.
That's tough to beat right there. That's pretty strong. That's a great Christmas that she'll never, ever forget.
Thank you, Rachel.
And welcome to the best of Kevin and Bean. Here's that time we called that guy. What?
Nope.
This is new. Oh, it's Kevin and Bean 09.
Like
that. Yeah. We talked to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record, earlier today, and he not only agreed with me that the story we're about to tell you was the best arrest of 2008, he thinks it may be the best arrest they've had in the history of TMZ, and that is really, really saying something.
Charles Barkley, who, of course, is an NBA superstar, used to
basketball legend.
Used to play for the Phoenix Suns, a bunch of other teams, is incapable of lying, I think. That's why it makes him such a good announcer.
Mm-hmm.
Here's part of the story.
According to the latest Gilbert police report, Barkley, who is married, had just picked up a woman in his SUV when he ran a stop sign. Police
pulled him over. By the way, the rage in this woman's voice, this newscaster. Charles Barkley, who is married, I'll have you know. Please keep that in mind as you listen to the story of him out trolling for hot ass. Married.
Police pulled him over and eventually arrested him for suspicion of DUI. The officer then asked where the former Phoenix Sun star was going. According to police, Barkley responded that he was in a hurry. You want the truth? He's quoted as saying, I was going to drive around the corner and, to paraphrase Barkley, have a sexual liaison. Sir Charles went further, saying the same woman had performed a similar sexual act 1 week ago and that it was the best he'd ever had in his life.
Come on, by the way, if you're a cop.
He sure likes to share.
And you're talking to Charles Barkley, who's had his share.
Yeah.
And it's the best he's ever had. Don't you go, Godspeed.
You do. And you say, you say, I got next. That's what you say.
Can you call next? I don't know how that works exactly.
I think you can. Well, you're not going to believe this, but Sir Charles Barkley joins us on the phone right now on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, fantastic.
Good morning, Charles.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're very good. How are you today?
I'm not as good as I was.
Yeah.
But, I'm doing the best I can to try to get through this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Well, I want to applaud you, first of all, Charles. You are an outspoken man. That's what you're famous for. At least you told the truth, and I'm sure that that must have been refreshing for the police officer to hear somebody who actually admitted what was going on.
Well, that's how I am. I just tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see no reason to be hypocritical.
Well, in this particular case, being married, maybe you wouldn't want to share that. I don't know.
Well, there was no doubt in my mind that I was already in incarceration for what was happening.
Uh-huh.
So I just thought I'd tell the truth,
okay.
And then maybe they'd be understanding of my situation.
I see.
How did that go over with Mrs. Barkley when you finally did get released from prison?
I would have to say that she is less than thrilled regarding my answers to the police.
Did she ask you what exactly that woman did that was the best you've ever had?
She did ask me that.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to tell her the truth,
mm-hmm.
that it was... how do I explain this? The woman that I picked up on the street corner,
mm-hmm.
could you you know what a shop vac is?
Yes.
Sure.
That's a very powerful vacuum cleaner.
That's correct, right. Yes.
And this woman, I think, had a shop vac in her head.
I see.
I see what you're saying.
Okay.
It built into her mouth somehow.
I think we understand.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think you understand.
We get that.
No, we do.
If you've been with this woman, you would know, it's just terrible. What she can do to you.
Yeah.
She turned my SUV into an SBJ.
Wow. Is that right?
That is impressive.
That's all I have to say about that.
Now, Sir Charles, there was a little bit of a discrepancy, I guess, in what you were attempting to say at the police station. You made an offer to try to get the DUI dismissed. You offered a tattoo. What was that all about?
I told a man who was working there that I would tattoo his name on my ass if he got me out of the DUI.
And right? How'd that work out for you?
It didn't make one bit of difference.
Not so good.
The results of whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I'm still having legal difficulties.
Yeah, I'm sure you are, yeah.
And you had a handgun in the vehicle, too. I guess they're still investigating whether that was legal or not, but that was a little bit of a surprise.
They don't want you driving around with a handgun.
Really?
To my surprise.
Really? Wow. Because it seems like that would be encouraged.
I would think so. Being in Arizona, I was thinking it was like the Wild West.
Sure, yeah.
Right, right.
But I am not a cowboy.
Right. Now, is this going to impact negatively your future plans to run for political office, Charles?
I don't think so, because I have been honest.
That's true.
And I did not try to cover up the situation.
That's true, too.
I said the truth, which is I was in a hurry to get me some sexual lesions.
I don't think that's what you mean.
I heard a woman on the news thing say I wanted a sexual lesion.
No, I think she said liaison, not lesions. You definitely don't want lesions after you're with the woman.
I'm afraid I have to go to a clinic.
No. Lesions is a whole different problem.
Sexual lesions.
No, Charles.
I didn't know the girl so well, so maybe she has sexual lesions. I don't know.
Yeah, that's
some kind of knucklehead.
that's not what you want.
Well, we admire you for being honest.
And I admire me for getting oral sex from a stranger.
All right. More than once. Congratulations, Charles.
And Merry Christmas.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 10 minutes till 9 o'clock.
I don't want to speak too soon. There's still time for it to come off the tracks here. But I think we've almost survived the first show of 2009, you guys. We've not. There's been no hook. We've not been pulled. It looks like we're going to make it to the finish line on show number one.
And the finish line is just 9 o'clock, right? And then
right, that's what I'm saying, okay, yes. But right. So far, we're close, though, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Which I think is a big surprise to many of us. It's 8:50 now. Ralph is here with the final showbiz beat for a Monday morning. What's going on?
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Marley and Me, still number one across these great United States of ours. $24 million it made this weekend. People love them some Bad Dogs.
You also forget that Jennifer Aniston is an actress, too, until once in a great while she has a movie out.
Yeah.
She's such a celebrity. She doesn't really do anything, is what it seems like most of the year.
She's just a people cover model.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I wonder if Owen Wilson and Jennifer Aniston would make this kind of money in a movie without a hilarious golden retriever eating tile.
I don't think so.
I don't think
plus,
so either.
Apparently, it was a huge, huge book, so it had a lot of built-in
audience. Owen Wilson's character learns a lot about life from watching his horribly dysfunctional yellow lab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he learns an important lesson.
Yeah. Not my type of movie.
No.
No.
Bedtime Stories was number two. Curious Case of Benjamin Button was number three. Valkyrie, Yes Man, 7 Pounds, The Tale of Despero, Doubt, The Day the Earth Stood Still, and Slumdog Millionaire rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend.
Did you guys see Slumdog Millionaire?
I still have not seen that.
So good.
I know you speak highly of it.
That is really
good. You called
it,
man. You, from the very beginning, you said that was the movie to go see. I remember.
I remember you saying you wouldn't go see it. That sounded dumb. That's what I remember.
Well, that's before I saw it, though. When Bean was talking about it,
then it was stupid.
My stance is automatically the opposite of whatever Bean is saying.
Look, I recognize and support that knee-jerk reaction.
So then I went because my wife wanted to go, and it was great.
Yeah.
I was wrong on my initial reaction, which is the opposite of what Bean says.
You know what else? Usually I see about 9 dozen movies over the holiday season. Didn't see one movie this
season. Wow, really?
Yeah.
Too busy drinking?
A lot of drinking. A lot of partying, a lot of seeing friends and family, so I didn't have any chance. But my folks went to see Doubt and said that it's
freaking
brilliant. Philip Seymour Hoffman, just amazing in that role. So a lot of good movies in the theaters to catch up on for me.
And Gran Torino, awesome.
Another one.
Really good.
Sad news.
Hotel for Dogs, obviously. That's the one we're all waiting for. That's going to be the big one of the year.
Yeah, what's that about? Cleo asked. Sad news for movie fans. Pat Hingle, legendary character actor who most famously played Commissioner Gordon in a bunch of the Batman movies in the 80s, has passed away at the age of 84 years old today.
No! God! No! God, please, no!
We don't care. Dude, we don't care. We don't care. No, don't care, don't care, don't care. Oh, God, don't care. Don't care.
You should care. A lot of celebrities have New Year's resolutions, apparently, that involve breaking up with their significant other.
Oh, good.
Katy Perry has broken up with the lead singer of Gym Class Heroes, Travis McCoy. Travis posted an angry rap song regarding their breakup on his blog, if you want to check that out. And apparently, we were talking about this morning, it's the lyrics from an existing rap song. We thought he wrote those lyrics.
Yeah.
But apparently, it's in an existing bad rap song that he decided to plagiarize.
Either way, it's terrible.
It's horrible. It's horribly hilarious.
Our token Negro listener, Anel, wrote in that it was a sort of a hit song in 1988, a hit with the blacks back in the day, he said.
Well, no one's blacker than Travis McCoy.
Yeah,
it's true.
That's for sure.
That is true.
Milo Ventimiglia and Hayden Panettiere apparently are on the rocks, according to Star Magazine as well. Their relationship hitting a rough patch. Which is sad, because I like both of them a lot.
Sure.
We had Milo in. I thought he was a really cool guy. Really enjoyed hanging out with him. And, of course, Hayden Panettiere is just a piece of angel food cake right there. So sad to see that those two are on the rocks. Apparently, Hayden has been seen recently flirting publicly with other guys, which is giving people the speculation that maybe their relationship isn't rock solid.
I heard she's dating a dolphin.
She loves dolphins. That's her thing. Yeah. She goes to Japan and protests the people who are netting.
Yeah, we know about her politics.
It's not that we didn't understand the joke.
Yeah.
So I'm saying what I'm saying is she's
not a joke.
She's dating a dolphin. That's how into dolphins.
So much for surviving the first show, by the way.
But what we're saying is that we don't get it.
No, we
get
it.
You're right about that.
We get it. We just don't recognize the comic value in it.
I withdraw the comment.
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
Oh, sorry.
That hurts.
You know who's not busting up? Jim Carrey and Jenny McCarthy.
Because he makes all those faces. You can't just give that up.
They are together for life, according to Jim. Sure. Star Magazine is also reporting that Jim credits Jenny for helping him overcome his depression that he's been battling with his whole life. So he has put $50 million in a trust for her if and when he ever passes away. So she'll be taken care of for life.
That's inviting a woman to kill you.
Yes, it is.
$50 million.
Wow. As I said to my wife after we got our a life insurance policy for me, I said I've never been more scared than I am right now.
But $50 million, I mean, that's
a motivation.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Remember that fantastic interview that Lightning did on the red carpet with Jim Carrey?
Oh, I love that one.
Remember that?
How are you doing, Jim? Lightning, man, I was skinny and like this. I know. I've gained 30 pounds, and now it's disgusting.
Yeah. That's when Jim first starts suffering from depression, was after that interview.
My favorite part of that is Lightning does not mic him.
No, refuses to share the microphone with Jim Carrey, Hollywood superstar.
But you can hear way in the back.
We did all come to see Lightning.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, skinny. I know. Yeah, he's tall. Let's talk about me.
There we go. All right. Good sound. Yeah.
The rest of his $200 million fortune will apparently go into trust to his daughter Jane from his first marriage. That's how he plans to divvy up his estate when
that's $250 million?
When he goes away. Yeah, that's how it's going down.
Wow.
This Yes Man movie cannot be good, right?
No.
I saw it.
What?
You did, Lisa.
It would have been good except for Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey?
That's often the case.
Everybody else being was in every really scene? Good in it. Zooey Deschanel is adorable.
She always is.
But he's.
But I'm not sure I get the complex plot. He has to. He says yes a lot.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. Apparently, you have to be really over the top to do a movie this complicated.
Sure.
Yeah. Which I didn't realize.
Okay. Originally, it was called Hotel for Yes Man, but apparently they had to change the title because it was too complex. But he puts tape all over his face, Kevin. How can that not be funny?
I do like
Kevin,
that.
You're the guy who used to love all the Jim Carrey.
He turns his glasses upside down at one point and makes a face. Come on!
How are you doing, Jim? Lightning, man, I was skinny and like this. I know. I've gained 30 pounds, and now it's disgusting.
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
Him too. And bad news for 50 Cent. He may be a best-selling artist, successful actor, mogul, but he isn't destined for success on reality television. Apparently, 50 Cent, the power and the money, or the money and the power, has been given the axe by MTV after just 6 episodes. They're pulling the show from the air. If MTV won't air your show, how bad can it be?
That's true.
Good point.
That's what I have to ask. So we'll never find out who gets to win whatever he was offering as the prize on that show.
How can that possibly be worse than The Hills?
If I'm not mistaken, The Money and the Power was a Apprentice-esque kind of reality show.
So you try to work for him or something?
Yeah, eventually at the end, you get to be a protege of Fitty at the end of it.
Get to be his gunman?
Yeah.
Ride shotgun?
You get to be a human shield.
Jump in front of me at all times.
That's right.
Bad prize. Today, I'm not sure anyone wants that.
Today's celebrity birthday is Robert Duvall, legendary actor, 78 years old today. If you've never seen a little movie called Tender Mercies, I don't like the country. I don't like the country music. I don't like any of that crap. But his performance in that movie will just blow your socks off.
Well, he's great in everything.
He is.
He's a great actor.
But
I loved him in, what was the one where he played the preacher, the apostle?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he was so brilliant in that.
And, of course, all the Godfather films, too.
Sure.
He played Tom Hagen, the consigliere of the Corleone family. 78 years old today. Diane Keaton, also a Godfather alum. She is 63. Vinnie Jones is 44 today. Marilyn Manson turns 40. January Jones is 31. She, of course, from Mad Men. And Kristen Cavallari from Laguna Beach is 22 years old today. Can we hear Kristen one more time? We have so few reasons, so few chances to listen to her talk about
this. I was remarkably unprepared for that request.
Really?
How could you? We did it
for the third time today. You didn't think we were going to bring that up again?
Preparing for what I have to say as soon as you're done. Here's here's the birthday girl.
If you and Steven had babies, they'd be so good looking. They would. Because Steven's all tan.
There you go.
And all those tan people make tan babies.
That is sure the do. One thing you pass down is your tan.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph, and thanks to Ralph's co-star in a show called 10 Items or Less, Mr. John Lehrer, for stopping by. The program is back for a new season on TBS tomorrow night at 11 o'clock. Ralph, we will see you for a minute tomorrow night, right?
Oh, more than that.
Like minute? 10?
Several minutes, I would say. I'd have to ponder 4 minutes.
No. And thanks to former sports guy Matt Money Smith for joining us on the program today. I forgot how we do this. Do we talk about this afternoon's show and then tomorrow? Or do we not talk about tomorrow? What do we do?
Let's forget tomorrow. Let's talk about this afternoon because...
Okay, I don't remember.
All week long, we are giving you new Burton snowboards at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 3 p.m., and 7 p.m. And this afternoon during Kevin and Bean's Cinco de la Tarde, we are going to hook you up with that snowboard and a trip to Telluride, Colorado.
Wow. Well, are you ready for the big one?
Okay.
Yes.
Airfare, hotel, the whole deal.
Nice. Wow, that's quite the prize.
This afternoon at the 5 o'clock Cinco de la Tarde.
In the meantime, Tad Corbett is next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including The Offspring, also Nirvana, The Killers, Linkin Park, Sublime, and more. Straight ahead right after this on
Well, that song's, that ended is what happened there.
That one's over and it's not coming back until next time we play it.
That just ran right out is what happened. There's not any more of that song to hear, tell you that.
You'd think that we'd be refreshed and sharper than ever after a vacation, but no, that's not the case. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, Cinco de la Tarde, for a Monday afternoon. He's Kevin, I'm Bean. Hi, Lisa. How was your holiday, my dear?
It was wonderful. Not long enough, of course, but wonderful.
Of course. And Ralph Garman has also joined us. Psycho Mike's in the room. It's great to be back. Ralph, you had a fantastic story that you debuted this morning on the morning edition of Kevin and Bean. We thought our afternoon listeners might enjoy hearing about it as well.
Yeah, apparently over the holiday, while vacationing in Mexico, Travis McCoy from Gym Class Heroes and Katy Perry of the Voluminous Tatas, Kissed the Girl, they split up. Their relationship ended.
Okay.
And it was not a good breakup. Witnesses at the resort they were staying at over the holiday said Katy Perry was screaming and sobbing and begging Travis McCoy not to leave as he left her behind at the resort. She had to be consoled by her parents. She was so unhappy. And then Travis McCoy on his blog posted a rap saying that it summed up how he felt about their relationship. And initially we thought that he had written a rap.
Right, which is horrible.
Which is horrible. And then Anel, our token black listener, Anel Rivers, said that that actually was a rap from the 80s, a rap song from the 80s that was popular with the black community. And he just
doesn't make it any better.
Co-opted those lyrics and posted them on his blog, I guess, to express his feelings. But it is horrific.
It hasn't aged well in the 20 years since it was a hit for a band called Main Source, I guess.
Yeah, it's horrible. The lyrics are just
stupid beyond words. You know what? Let's do. Let's have Lisa rap it for people.
Well, that'll improve it.
It kind of speaks to me.
It does, right?
Yeah, I feel it.
Because Lisa is the rapper amongst us, so we'll give her a beat, and you can.
Sure.
This is the rap that he put up about the breakup with Katy Perry.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present for you Lisa May. That's a good start.
I know. I got it. We fight every night. Now that's not kosher. I reminisce with bliss of when we was closer and wake up to be greeted by an argument again. You act like you're 10.
Yeah!
So immature, I try to concentrate on a cure and keep looking at the front door, thinking if I evacuate, you'd probably be straighter than straight and wouldn't have so much hate. Cause you don't know the pain I feel when I see you smiling, and when I roll up, you start whiling. So I front like everything's hunky-dory, but it's a whole different story. You don't like the fact that I'm me. I don't put on a show when it comes time for you to have company. And your friends don't understand your choice, man. They speak proper where my speech is from a garbage can. But regardless, you shouldn't have to be so raw. I'm looking at the front door.
Wow.
Yeah.
Looking at the front door.
Yeah.
Wait. That was a hit?
Average.
That was a real, like, song?
Oh, boy.
Someone did?
Lisa! Yeah!
Come on.
I am so from Inglewood.
You could just tell.
You're up to no good, that's for sure.
Nobody uses the word Weiland better than you, I'll tell you that.
Power 106 is quaking right now if they heard that.
All this week, by the way, at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 3 p.m., and then again this evening at 7 p.m., you can win a new Burton snowboard. And all this week during the Cinco de la Tarde, which is this hour.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
You can get the snowboard, plus you can get a trip for two to Telluride, Colorado.
Yeah! That's better than the snowboard, really.
Three nights hotel, airfare, lift tickets, the snowboard, the whole deal. You can win between 5 and 6 every day this week on the world famous K-Rock. Your chance to win is coming up very soon.
Wow.
Isn't Colorado the state that's gotten like 20 feet of snow this winter, by the way?
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
Like there's old, like, you're lucky we're flying you to Telluride because you couldn't drive there. That's how much snow they've got. All right, your chance to win that is coming up in just minutes. This is Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde. I assume, as usual this year, I was the only one of us who was at home on New Year's Eve watching TV, right?
You assume correctly. That is always bad, bad, bad TV. And most people, I don't know, have plans.
Avoid it, go somewhere, friends. Do something.
And people who don't have plans or friends or plan anything still don't watch TV on that night.
If I had to stay home, I would rent movies.
Rent a movie or go to bed early. Yeah. There's no option, no understanding of an idea where I would actually watch that television.
Nope.
But I'm glad you do.
I got bad news for you guys, and that is that poor Dick Clark, who has given so much to America, who we all admire as a great broadcaster, is still being forced to appear on the ABC Rockin' New Year's Eve show.
He's had a stroke. And
and he's 80. He's had a stroke and he's 80, and they still put a gun to his head and force him to go into the booth and talk. And it can't be fun for Dick. It's certainly not fun for the viewer. Nothing says party on New Year's Eve like watching an 80-year-old stroke victim try to read.
Yeah.
Well, I got some tape, and you'll see what I'm talking about here.
And speaking of the man, the master of ceremonies, it is my pleasure and honor to welcome the man synonymous with New Year's Eve, Mr. Dick Clark. Hey, Dick!
All right, so that's Ryan Seacrest, who clearly is the heir apparent. He's the guy who throws it up to Dick, and this is the moment in the show every year where you're cringing on your couch going, what's it like? He's another year older. How's the speech therapy going? Let's see what he's got.
Thank you, Ryan, very, very much. I'm nice and warm. It's so warm as a cowbell boil.
Okay.
Now, I hear warm as a cowbell boil.
Yes, that's what he said. That is what he said. That's it.
Whatever it was he's trying to say, he couldn't get it out because, you know, God bless him, he's had a stroke and he gives up. Let's do it again.
Thank you, Ryan, very, very much. I'm nice and warm. It's so warm as a cowbell boil.
So he's just like, oh, boy. I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
Anyway, there's no place like Times Square on New Year's Eve. And this looks like the best year ever. And we've got about 1 million people lined up down Broadway, and we've got cameras everywhere.
Uh-huh.
So we won't miss a thing. It's the biggest party in the world. Don't you dare go away.
Well, why would you go away and want to avoid that on New Year's? Look, let the man retire. That's all we're saying. We love Dick Clark. Let it go. We have him on the phone?
Yeah.
Hey, Dick. Kevin. Thank you very, very, very much. How are you doing? Oh, boy.
Dick, we want to make it clear that we're not making fun of stroke victims.
No, I can tell you not.
But if you have a job where you speak on television,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of like Muhammad Ali shouldn't box anymore because he's, you know, and you talk, and since you can't do that.
Well, I think it's just a great time to be broadcasting on the television. And I have a very, very, very good time. And I think everybody else has too.
Who's making you work, though? Haven't you earned enough in your long and successful career where you could just be at home with your wife on New Year's Eve and not be in Times Square?
There's no place I'd rather be than Times Square on New Year's Eve. Because there's a million people there, too. And everybody's having a fun time.
Sorry.
I can't.
I don't know.
I really can't make out what you're saying.
There's no place I'd rather be.
No place you'd rather be.
Got that.
Okay.
Than at Times Square.
Than at Times Square. All right. That's fine, but can't you be there and watch?
I could be there and watch.
Have you been kidnapped and are they forcing you to work?
No, I want to work.
You want to?
I love to entertain people. But well,
that's what we're saying. That's what we're saying. It's not entertaining. It's not entertaining.
He's got a good point.
Okay.
I understand why you wouldn't want to hand it over to the flimsy Ryan Seacrest. I get that at all. But It's not a party for the people at home because we feel bad.
It's the biggest party in the world.
No, but, we feel bad, though.
Well, don't feel bad.
But we can't understand you.
I know.
We don't know.
Oh, boy.
Okay,
and I can't feel haunted.
We don't know what you're saying. I'm really sorry.
You one more question, Mr. Pluck, and then we're out of time.
We want to know what you're saying.
If you go to the Kevin and Bean section of KROQ.com, we have posted video of your countdown at midnight where you welcome in 2009. Congratulations. Nice job. But then the tradition is that your lovely bride steps into the shot, and you're supposed to give her...
Carrie,
you're supposed to give her this the celebratory kiss at New Year's, and, you know, that's the tradition, okay? You practically maul the woman. You're making out with her for what seems like a full minute on TV. She's trying to get away. You're pulling her back. You're gumming her. I mean, it's really ugly, Dick.
That's why I think you've been kidnapped, because you were kissing her like you hadn't seen her in a year, and you didn't want it to end, and she was just trying to get out of the shot.
I don't have a chance to get physical with my wife very often.
Right, but New Year's Eve television, that's when you're going to do it?
I got to take her where I can get it. Because Carrie doesn't show me the affection that she used to.
Oh, that's sad.
I don't know why she was.
Oh, that's so sad. What about Ryan?
Ryan shows me all kinds of affection all the time.
That's what I thought.
In fact, Ryan and I will be snowboarding in Telluride this week. So come over and join me on the slopes. Because it's the biggest party in the world. On a snowboarding. Which is really someone just pushing me down a hill.
That doesn't sound fun.
Well, happy New Year to you, Dick.
8, 7,
what? No.
6,
it's already well over.
Right, 9,
you're done.
11.
You're done, Dick. Thank you.
I think we've got the microphone situation worked out.
I am so sorry.
There,
there you are.
There we go.
Oh, we
can
hear
you.
I was
so much happier,
Ralph,
when we weren't much working better doing this.
Well, Ralph, it's a Monday afternoon. Kevin Amin, Cinco de la Tarde. You've got the showbiz beat for a new day, for a new year. What's going on?
As we do every Monday, we'll take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Over the weekend, Marley and Me made $24 million. Still the number one movie in America. Bedtime Stories was number 2, the Adam Sandler comedy. The Curious Case of Benjamin Button came in at number 3. Then Valkyrie made $14 million. People love seeing Tom Cruise battle Hitler.
Oh, that was good, by the way. That was a good movie.
I thought it was good until they started saying that Hitler was a psychiatrist. And I was like, wait a minute. I never heard that part of the story. Seems like you're mixing two messages there. Yes Man was number 5. 7 Pounds was number 6. Then The Tale of Despero, Doubt, The Day the Earth Stood Still, and Slumdog Millionaire rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Mariah Carey is now available for private parties.
Oh, great. For how much?
She was at work in St. Bart's over New Year's Eve, performing at a party thrown by Saif Gaddafi, son of the famous Muammar Gaddafi.
Really?
Of the wacky Gaddafi family.
Yeah.
Word is she was paid $1 million to belt out 4 songs.
Wow.
Dude.
I'd belt out 4 songs for $1 million.
That's not a bad day's work right there. Apparently, Beyonce and Jay-Z were also at the party, and they joined her on stage for a number.
I've read articles about this before. There's almost no superstar who is not available for the right price to play your party.
Wasn't it the Rolling Stones who played some kid's bar mitzvah or something?
For like $5 million or something? Yeah, yeah.
Because a 13-year-old kid loved the Rolling Stones?
Oh, okay, enough satisfaction.
What the hell?
Yeah, so that's what she did over the holidays. Made a quick $1 million. Because, you know, she's there, she's boozing, she's drinking champagne, she's having a good time. Mariah, it's your turn. She gets up on stage, does 12 minutes of work, and then thank you for that big check.
Yeah. $1 million.
Goes back to drinking. Also celebrating her vacation is Amy Winehouse, who apparently is never coming back from the Caribbean. She's been there for like 2 months now. I've seen the new photos.
Is that the she, is that the where the rehab is?
No.
She's not in rehab.
She's not in rehab. She's on vacation.
Oh, okay.
In the Bahamas. And she's been spotted sunbathing in the nude.
Yeah.
And they just have new photos of her every day.
Mm-hmm.
Of her hanging out. Apparently she's put on some weight. Looks like she is cleaned up for the most part.
A little healthier.
A little healthier, yeah.
She doesn't look like the Crypt Keeper anymore.
No. Now she looks like Dr. Frankenfurter from Rocky Horror Picture Show, which I guess is an improvement.
One of the few women about whom we can say clothes really are her friend. I mean, she does look better with something on rather than with not anything on.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's,
I'm hoping saying. She becomes Muslim so that she'll wear one of those burqas and we'll just see the eyes. Because the eyes are all right. Everything else.
Are they?
Not so much. Lindsay Lohan and Samantha Ronson apparently having a big fight over the holiday weekend. The London Sun is reporting that Lindsay was hysterical after getting into an argument with her girlfriend at the Miami airport. So distraught that airline attendants had to approach her on the plane and ask her if she needed to leave.
Wow.
She was just inconsolable. Two of them having a very tempestuous relationship, apparently.
Yeah. She's pissed at him, I'll tell you.
Yeah. I saw a picture of him. He is not an attractive guy.
No.
Telling you that right now.
Samantha is a woman.
Yeah. Well, his name's Samantha, but he's still a dude. Look at him.
And who has the greatest voice in rock and roll history?
As a lead singer of a band, you
yep.
mean?
Yep. There was a new poll. The top greatest, top ten greatest voices in rock and roll was recently released.
That dude from Ween?
Ween, yes. Is that one of them? Number three, oddly enough.
Dean Ween, yes.
They'd be hard-pressed to argue with any of these. Most of these people are, of course, classic rock and roll stars because it's an all-time kind of list.
Sure.
But I think you'd be pretty pleased. Top ten, Bon Scott from the AC/DC, the original singer of AC/DC.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Mick Jagger with Rolling Stones, number 9.
Sure.
Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden.
Hells yeah.
Sure.
Number 8. Axl Rose from Guns N' Roses, number 7.
But back then.
Back then, yeah. The original GNR days. Number 6, good friend of Psycho Mike's, David Coverdale from Whitesnake and Deep Purple. It's number 6 on the list.
Wow.
Number 5, Roger Daltrey of The Who. That's who I thought of immediately when I heard this list. Ian Gillan from Deep Purple, number 4. Mm-hmm. Paul Rodgers from Bad Company, Free, number 3. Freddie Mercury from Queen, number 2 on the list. And the number 1 greatest voice in rock and roll history?
Well, are you ready for the big one?
I was going to
say...
Guys,
it's got to be Robert Plant.
I was going to say Gary Puckett, but Gary Puckett was not on the list.
Robert Plant. It's got to be Robert Plant.
It's got to be Robert
Burton
Plant,
Burton Cummings also
nope.
came to mind.
Nope. Weird Al?
David Thomas.
Who's that? Just what's a random dude's name?
I think he founded Wendy's.
That's what I think, too.
How does he make the list, then? Is he a good singer?
Who's that guy from Blood, Sweat, and Tears?
David Clayton
Thomas.
Yeah, that's
Thomas.
The guy you're thinking of. Yeah. Yeah.
Who that is?
No, number 1, Robert Plant from Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, has to be.
As
sure.
Being properly suggested.
You can't argue with that. I mean, that's a right
know.
Choice.
I'm still thinking Gary Puckett.
Well, maybe Gary Puckett.
From his days with the Union Gap, you know? Don't get me wrong.
Not his solo stuff.
No. Today's celebrity birthday is Robert Duvall, 78 years old today. Diane Keaton turned 63. Vinnie Jones. By the way, that Diane Keaton, I want to punch her right in the eye.
Really? Why?
My wife, over the holidays, must have watched the rerun of that goddamn movie where Mandy Moore's her daughter and they're talking to her all the time.
Which one was that?
Because
it's
I told you so. Or I told you. Oh, must have watched it 8 times.
Really?
Oh, very
I
bad.
I am right there with you, Ralph. My wife won't stop watching the cable airings of Mad Money, the movie she did with Queen Latifah, where she steals all that money from the Mint. I can't get it off my TV.
I don't know what hold Diane Keaton has over yep. women, but it's just inexplicable to me. Vinnie Jones is 44 years old. Marilyn Manson turns 40. January Jones from Mad Men is 31. And Kristen Cavallari is 22 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. No one to thank today except for you, the fine K-Rock listener, for tuning in. But tomorrow morning, do we have a huge Kevin and Bean show, or am I just lying again?
Well, Psycho Mike went to see Hotel for Dogs, first of all.
Wow.
On purpose and by himself.
Really?
Didn't go with a kid. Didn't...
You got kids you could bring. You got nephews.
Yes, I do.
Nieces. Didn't...
So we got that. We got to ask him about that.
Sounds like the day of a pedophile.
It does, doesn't
that's
it?
That's a good point.
With that hat he's got on, he just needs a trench coat. And
have you already seen Marley and Me and couldn't get enough cute puppies at the cinema?
I got a pack of Rolos in my pocket, kids. You want to search
for
them?
I was all set to go see Marley and Me, and my sister came home. She took her kids to see it, and she's like, don't go. You'll never make it through. You'll commit suicide if you watch that movie.
Because it's so sad?
Yeah.
Are you going to talk like Spencer now for the rest of your life?
I've lost
my
voice. Sorry.
Yeah, it's like, Captain, don't go see
this is insane. Also, tomorrow morning, we're going to tell you whether Sarah Palin would be a good hooker or not. Very excited about that. Sarah Palin.
How do we determine
that's going to be a
this?
Short break.
Nope.
Nope.
Stupid things you've snorted tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean show.
Are we out already?
No. No.
For the second show of 2009.
The King of Mexico. We didn't have any time for this, but the King of Mexico, after Acoustic Christmas, I'm not kidding you, snorted toothpaste. That's a bad idea right there.
Who's going to beat that?
And from Scrubs, we're going to talk to Zach Braff tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, good.
Jack Braff.
I call him that tomorrow morning in the Kevin and Bean early edition. Stick around, though. How about 60 minutes of nonstop commercial-free K-Rock music with our friend Nicole Alvarez? She's going to be playing the Killers for you. Also some P.O.D., Red Hot Chili Peppers, Kings of Leon, Green Day, and more. Straight ahead right after this on K-Rock.